Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Debate Night. I think this is week 20, episode 20, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you're not mistaken.
I'm not mistaken. Episode 20, we got a sick giveaway going down. I'm your host, Hunter, joined as always by Brody. Silas producing the show. He'll pop in when necessary. There he is. That wasn't necessary, but he popped in anyways. should be a good one. Yet again, for this show, it's funny because the original premise of this show was I was supposed to be like the host and like the person who like facilitated the debates and stuff, and like by 2 weeks in I did no show planning and I just kind of show up and Brody has it already.
Yeah, I mean, it's this was kind of like the thing I you know, my passion project, right? And you and Trevor have grip locked, and you know, I think that's kind of how we work around here, is each person has something that they really are passionate about. We do this in our same thing with the YouTube videos, right? Like someone will have an idea and everyone else just kind of just shows up, and that person's like, all right, this is how we're doing the video. So that's kind of how this is. I have no problem, but you know, if you're trying to say that you want to bring in
I was just like, whenever I enter the show, I'm like, I don't know what this show is going to be about.
I know, that's why
I'm as prepared for this show as the audience watching or listening.
Well, it's also kind of cool too, because hopefully the call-in situation, we were this close, by the way, guys, this close to getting our Twitter spaces figured out.
The tough part with Twitter spaces is they still don't allow, unless something's changed in the last few hours, they don't allow people to join a Twitter space and be able to speak from a computer.
Yeah.
You can listen, but you can't listen and speak. As soon as that gets solved, Twitter spaces is where it's at. It's where we're going
to
be. But
we were able to get, we went on there a couple times and we were able to get a lot of new voices over there.
Yeah, we just need the right adapter or two and we'll get it fixed.
Do we have the call-in number, Silas, in the description? I don't know if I added that or not.
I'll look.
You might be able to add that in there, but
the caller number is not in the description.
Shout out to Matthew real quick.
Oh, what's Matthew? What does he do?
He noticed that I got a haircut.
Oh.
What, did you already show yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah,
give yourself a little, like, one, two.
I got a haircut. Yeah.
How long has it been since you had a haircut?
3 years.
3 years.
Wow.
3 years without a haircut.
What are you going to do with all that money you saved up?
I don't know. Spending on blizzards.
That's, a 156 weeks, and let's say you get a haircut every other week. That's like
every
70
other week.
Okay, you once a month?
No,
guy?
I think
I'm
you.
A
no,
once a month. At
I
least.
Think you do like 3 weeks. I think that's like a
3 weeks.
Number.
Well, that's very hard to figure out. I was gonna go 75.
Oh, just do every other. Just do every other. Some people do twice.
We'll go three
week,
weeks.
That's
twice
50. A month.
50 haircuts you saved. So that's like about almost $600.
A lot of money.
Yeah, that's 500 and some bucks.
Yeah.
What are you gonna spend it on? You gonna buy Connor a one wheel?
No.
Sorry, Connor, I tried.
I'm going to buy me a one wheel.
And ride it around, Connor.
Yeah.
There we go. That now we're talking.
That is something that we want to do for sure.
Now we're talking.
All right. First thing, got a shout out to our sponsor for today's video, Foundation Backpacks.
Wow.
Is today's sponsor. Check out these sweet Foundation Backpacks made by Adidas.
These are not disc golf backpacks. These are just, this is my everyday backpack now. Fits. I carry a 15-inch laptop. It's a 15-inch screen laptop. Fits in here easy. Charger, plenty of room. I got some notebooks, handy dandy notebooks, stuff like that, all in here. A little front secret pouch. That's where I keep my EpiPen so I don't die.
Nice.
And yeah.
We also have Dark Horse backpacks as well available. Mine should be coming in any time. I'm very excited for that. But make sure you go over on foundationdiscs.com. Tons of new stuff over there, as well as new discs, obviously going up every week. So make sure you go to foundationdiscs.com. Elephant in the room. I tried to cancel the show last week.
You did.
I tried to like.
Do you regret it? Do you regret it?
I do. No, I
do.
Come on, man. I thought about it. I thought about it all this week, and I was like, my gosh, I was trying to kill something.
Yeah. What were you thinking?
I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, but I feel terrible, and I want to apologize to all the listeners out there. I want to apologize to everyone watching this with us live. That was my fault. It'll never happen again. Apologies.
Boom. Apology accepted.
Do we want to talk about the overwhelmingly W I received on the Twitter poll with the ultimate teams? Do we want to mention that at all from last week?
No, so that was expected. I am the most defeated person in a Twitter poll of all time. It's impossible for me to win a Twitter poll.
There were some people that obviously voted for you guys, right? Because, I mean, I pretty much doubled it up. I think I was over 50%. I don't know exactly the numbers, but I believe I was probably over 50%. And I think you guys were somewhere, you know, combined for around there. There were obviously people that voted for you, but I overwhelmingly got a lot of people that said my team would just destroy your guys' team. So we might have to do that with another sport. That was kind of fun. Some people didn't understand either that we were
only going from top 20.
Top 20. Yeah, yeah. Top,
a lot of people were commenting.
A lot of
comments on like, why didn't you pick this person? They were in the top 20 world rankings, so they were out. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Real quick, couple things that happened this past weekend. You had the Jake Paul fight. Did anyone watch that?
I just saw the clips.
Yeah.
Do we think that was rigged?
No, absolutely not.
Silas?
I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Are you skeptical?
Explain your skepticism.
You're one of the conspiracy people?
Because Carson today was showing me that as
the little
Jake,
flit?
The little flit. Oh my gosh. You're one of those.
He, like, backed out.
He braced for impact once he realized there's a freaking fist flying towards his face.
I'm not going to say that it's real or faked. I don't have enough statistics.
Here's the thing.
To back up that it's fake, so I'm going to have to go and say that it's real.
If you're going to throw a fight, why are you doing it in the sixth round?
True.
Point one. Point two.
To make it believable, though.
Okay, sure.
Point two, here's the question.
You're going to throw a fight, do you let yourself get hit that hard?
Right. He got rocked.
Do you think he actually got knocked out? Like, do you think he actually went to sleep?
Yes.
Or do you think he was faking?
There's no doubt about that.
He fell on the floor.
How do you plan that?
Well, that's, I was going to say, there's no way. There are some people that say like he fell on purpose, and it's like there's no way, like that was a clean knockout, because I don't know how much money you'd have to give. I don't think you could give anyone money enough for some human. It's like the whole fight or flight thing. You cannot, like, you can't drown yourself on purpose, right?
You could not go in a pool right now and drown yourself on purpose.
Like,
I mean, what question is this?
I couldn't. If you went under the water and were like, I'm going to stay here until I pass out, you would not be able to do it. You would eventually freak out and swim up to the top and get air.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So I think it's the same thing as if you're falling on your face, there's no way you don't flinch. There's no way you don't.
No, that is a body reaction. I remember I was in early training to be an EMT, and one of the common things in EMTs were people would fake fainting. And I forget, it was named after someone, it might have been Mike, but there was a hand drop drill. Because essentially it's the same thing. If you're faking that you're passed out, which was a very common thing, what they would do, if they were positive you were faking, they would lift your hand above your face and drop it, because your body's natural instinct doesn't let your hand hit your face.
So if you're awake and everything,
your hand will go to drop and move. Well, I can't, Brody.
Wait, I can't test it?
Well, you can't lay far enough back. Because like your hand won't hit your face at the same way that if you're actually passed out and you drop the hand,
it just
hit
completely
your face.
Goes like limp.
Once you know you're being tested, sure, you can convince yourself, but when EMT just picks your hand up and drops it, your natural reaction is going to be and then you're like, okay, he's not actually passed out.
I will say, I want
it's a similar
see
thing to
Jake,
that
like box an actual boxer. None of these people have been boxers.
I mean, he's been very, very smart.
I think there's three different sections
of fighting right now. You've got like the MMA side.
Yeah.
You got the boxing side.
Yeah.
And then you've got this like celebrity kind of fighting side. Another fight that was on that card was that Darren Williams, Frank Gore side.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you right now, like between like celebrities fighting, that was actually a really good fight. Both those people knew it wasn't sloppy. A lot of times
they actually trained leading up to it in months.
And a lot of times you watch these like celebrity fights and you're like excited to see them, and a lot of it ends up being like they don't have distance control, and so they end up just like hugging the whole time because they're just like throwing their punches. These guys were throwing good combinations, had good head movement. And so I think you're going to see more guys kind of get in that sphere. It's almost kind of like the same thing with golf, where you see a lot of athletes also golf on the side. And so when they do go out and golf, they're not like absolutely terrible. You actually might start seeing a lot of athletes box and do that kind of as, you know, Frank Gore, for example. He said a lot in his interviews, like he's been doing it for training because it's incredible, you know,
cardio and everything,
incredible thing for him training wise. So it'll be interesting to see how it kind of goes up. But yeah, hopefully someone calls in and has more information on why they think it was rigged. I don't think it was rigged, but I'm with you, Silas. Like, he was supposed to fight a boxer with Tommy Fury.
Yeah.
Tommy Fury dropped out.
Tommy Fury would have got murdered.
I think probably so too.
Box a boxer.
The thing is, he hasn't really fought anyone he hasn't fought a boxer in his weight class yet.
Yeah.
A lot of the people he fight are either older people or like even Tyrone Woodley, for example. Tyrone probably was 20 pounds lighter than Jake in that thing. The thing is, the dude can box. Is he going to be a world champion? Probably not. But if you go in there and you don't really know what you're doing that well, you probably are going to lose to him. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see kind of what goes on. Another cool two things that happened also from that fight. I don't know if you guys saw clips of this. The Island Boys, right? The guys on TikTok.
How are they still a thing?
I don't know, but honestly, no one likes them.
No.
Most of the general public do not like them. And so they almost got into a fist fight with some of the crowd
Did you see
people.
Them on...
I feel like some of that stuff
there
is
There was
staged.
A clip of them on
No.
On
these,
Logan.
Are just, these are just random
was it
people.
Legit?
Yeah, these are just random fans
I think
fans
the Island
the
Boys
crowd.
People are just idiots. And so they're willing to just like be standing there. And if you're like, hey, you're ugly, they'll be like, what'd you say? Let me fight you.
Well, they have it's a different story too when you have security.
Yeah, because you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, you know.
But did you see the clip of them on Impulsive? Logan Paul's podcast?
Yeah, that was.
Well, the dude on Logan Paul's podcast was literally giving him advice of like, hey, dude, like, you know, you got to be smart about how you're spending your money. And like, if this doesn't work out, you know, might be smart to like sell your jewelry first and like invest that and blah, blah, blah. Was it probably unsolicited advice? Sure, but it was good. It was like actual advice. And then like got up and stormed off the podcast.
Oh.
And then Logan just like got up in between him and I don't even know the other guy's name. I've never watched the podcast. I saw it on a TikTok. But Logan got up in between him and was like, all right, guys, like, well, it's over. Like, you're fine. Just walk out. It's cool. It's whatever.
Yeah, it's a tough.
Well, like, how do people.
Well, it's a tough situation with people like that because at one point it is just two kids trying to make it, right? But there comes a certain point of where, you know, if they're talking trash and they're saying all that stuff, it's the whole thing of like a social media troll doesn't really say what they say behind the computer screen to the people in the face. But if people know who you are and they see you talking trash and now you're out in the public, it kind of puts a target on you.
They give me a very similar vibe as that like Catch Me Outside girl of where like...
Okay.
They
I can see that.
What they did on TikTok that like got them super viral, they're not self-aware enough to realize that people are making fun of them. And that's why they're viral and quote-unquote famous.
Or
to where like
doing.
They think they're...
Well, they do have a lot of people that like them. But there's a lot of
what,
people
they
got,
that...
They got famous for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, a very
some
like...
Some people had to like them.
There are a lot of people that like them, but there also are a lot of people that don't
but
like them.
I don't think they're self-aware enough to realize... That I would say 60% of their quote unquote fan base are there to be like, this is ridiculous, and
just to laugh at them.
Yeah, and the trend will eventually be over, and then it's like,
we'll see.
Where is the Catch Me Outside girl right now?
No, she's still killing it.
Yeah,
yeah, she's
what's
still,
she doing
she's
now?
Still killing. She's doing music. She's killing it.
She's
still
music.
Killing
really?
It. Yes, she's killing it.
No, I mean, here's what I think. I
the
think
Catch
that-
Me Outside girl is killing it, but she was smart. There are some people that. They might come off as very dumb people, but the Catch Me Outside person, I can't remember what her name is. She's someone
She's not
that,
Whoa Vicky, right? That's a different person?
I think that is definitely a different person.
Same vibes, I think.
But she's someone that I would say if you talk to her like about business and stuff off camera, she probably knows what she's doing. Or at least she's smart enough
to
have
the
people
right
around
people.
Her that know what she's doing. Because I'm pretty sure she's crushing it. Music wise, or at least she was. I don't know what she's doing now.
What if their plan for the Island Boys? What if their plan is to
Bad
get
Baby?
Hated?
That's her name. Yeah,
Daniel. What if their plan is to get hated just to get fame? Get
what?
Famous?
Who?
What the Island Boys.
That is their. I mean, that's
oh, that is
95% of people's plan.
Yeah,
like just get notoriety by
just get
being
noticed
stupid
and then get famous.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just like
it doesn't matter if people like you.
Well, a lot of it is how you get to your fame, as to if you can keep your fame.
That's true.
Because if you're just a trend, you'll come and then you'll be dead. You'll be gone. But if you're able to like build a sustainable base as you grow, then you'll actually have like a solid fan base. But if you're constantly like the only thing I ever see the Island Boys is them just being absolute idiots and hearing sound advice and like going off on someone or being in a crowd trying to start a fight.
You know who's really cool? Sean Kingston. You remember that guy?
Yeah.
You're way too beautiful, girl. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy? So apparently the story with him is like he didn't like being famous. He didn't like being in the spotlight and stuff. And so he just came in, made a couple songs, made millions of dollars, said deuces, and now like living his life.
He's invested in just chilling.
Yeah, but you don't hear him in the news or anything like that. He doesn't care. He's just out. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. The other big thing that happened at the Jake Paul fight was potentially the greatest flinch of all time.
Yes.
It might have been absolute greatest flinch of all time.
There is no one on earth that is not flinching in that situation.
I agree.
Oh, I'm flinching 100%.
If Nate Diaz, it doesn't even matter who it is. The fact that it's Nate Diaz.
No, Nate Diaz heightens it, yes.
But if someone just comes out of your peripheral with their hand up, like,
well, the guy said something to him first, I'm pretty sure.
No, I think it was a guy, if I read the comments correctly, it was someone that had previously talked trash to Nate in the future, in the past.
Okay.
And said something along the lines of like, hey, if like the whole on site, it's on site. Like, if I see you, it's on site. Meaning like if we ever get face to face, I'm ready to throw. And so Nate Diaz just did the Nate Diaz thing and just walked by with a little, if you haven't seen the clip, that's literally hilarious. Look up Diaz flinch. It is
the thing though is Nate Diaz.
What did he have? Like he have an extra large like Pepsi in his hand or something? Like he had a massive drink.
I think it was a beer. I think it was like a huge beer.
Huge
pint. Maybe it was
of beer.
Two. It might have been two.
And it just it was like the freaking what is that thing? The geyser.
Victoria Falls.
No, the geyser.
Old Faithful.
It was like Old Faithful just shooting up in the crowd. It was unbelievable.
I mean, but Nate Diaz is literally like probably one of the most psychotic fighters on the face of the earth that I've ever seen.
Oh,
so
he doesn't care.
If someone flinches, yeah. If he comes at you, like I'm cowering like a little dog or baby, like, no, I don't want any part of him. Because like you could hurt him all you want. Like, let's say that I landed 200 punches and this dude just stood there and ate him. It's not affecting Nate Diaz.
No.
He'll stand there.
He's gonna
he'll
come
stand
in
there with
one.
He'll stand there with no skin on his face.
There's
and be smiling like, "All right, this is fun."
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the fight game that will say stuff to promote fights. Will say stuff because that's what their managers are telling them to do. Nate Diaz is not one of those people. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. So, that was one of the big events. The other big event, which in the grand scheme of things, is probably like way down here, was the College Ultimate Nationals went down. I obviously was texting you guys about it a little bit this weekend. It kind of brought back a little nostalgia for me watching it. It was cool to see kind of what teams are performing now. It was the interesting thing there, and obviously this is more, you know, we talked about this last week. This is more of a disc golf podcast that we're hopefully trying to get different topics on here, you know, especially in the off season, right? So I don't know right now if anyone's watching or live or listening later that is an actual Ultimate Frisbee player that wants to call in, but there's a lot of things that have changed in Ultimate. And it was interesting to kind of see how things that used to be looked at, like, for example, spiking the disc used to be looked at very down upon, like frowned upon, right? With the whole spirit of the game. When you spike the disc, people thought like, oh, that wasn't very spirited, right? Now, like, kids are spiking it left and right. And the one thing that like was for sure, like would get people yelling at you is if you spiked on the rim. Because if you think about it, an ultra, like you could do that with a disc and it wouldn't be that bad. But think about like a soft Ultra Star. If you spike it on the rim, you can very easily warp the disc. It's funny because in disc golf, you would say beat it in, right? But in Ultimate, we'd say warp. And it's
if a disc golf disc looked like what an Ultimate disc would look like after you do that, we would also say warped.
Okay.
It's just very hard to get a disc to do that.
Yeah. It's almost like my ringer. Where it's just like completely.
No, if you like your ringers is really beat in, but it is
hit a lot.
It's
of
more.
Trees.
We call it warped if like it comes from a factory and looks like that.
Okay,
then it's warped.
Yeah,
that's what we say. But.
And you can fix warped discs by like putting books on them and stuff and leaving them overnight like that. But it's very difficult to fix a warped disc in the middle of a game. Now, obviously, this is College Nationals. They probably had 5 or 6, 7 other frisbees on the side of the field. So if a disc did get jacked up, they could throw one else on there. But I just thought it was very interesting to kind of see the difference in stuff that was going on. And for those wondering, UNC did the double sweep, which is only done, has only, UNC won men's and women's. It's only been done twice before, both by Santa Barbara in 99 and 97 or 96, I think. But the one thing I will say that was kind of, I don't know if it was, it was tough to see, was like, it doesn't look like Ultimate has really grown.
Interesting. In what way? Like the amount of people like watching live broadcast, the amount of people at the event?
The amount of people, I mean, obviously the semifinals and finals were on ESPN3, so you couldn't get like a YouTube counter of like how many people are watching. But the quarterfinals, you could get an idea of how many people are watching. I think the highest I ever got was like 1,200 people, something like that. And I want to say like we were hitting those numbers when I was playing. So it just doesn't seem like Ultimate is really actually like.
Were y'all on ESPN3 when you were playing? Or is that a newer thing?
No, ESPN3 started happening, I want to say like around 2014, maybe.
It's tough to know like how many people.
College, it wasn't.
Stumble upon it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because if I.
Some people are saying it died last year when COVID happened, because obviously.
That makes sense.
That took a huge hit, but. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if anyone listening is Ultimate wants to call in and see it. It is nice to know that I'm still hated by people that I've never talked to on Ultimate. So I think I've been out of the Ultimate game for so long, and then you have like these, you know, 18, 19 year olds that are just filled with hate in their heart that just want to like come after me. And I think what's happening is like their coaches didn't like me. And so they basically just have, because again, like if you type in like how to throw a forehand, my video is probably going to pop up first, right? So if you're a new player, you come to practice and you're like, oh, I watched this guy named Brody Smith. He had a video on, like, if you're the coach and you hate me and you have a new player saying that, you're going to immediately be like, don't do that. That guy's a douchebag. And so now you have this 18-year-old that hates me. So it was interesting to still see how many people, even though I've been removed from Ultimate for so long, how many people still bring all that stuff up. But I will say I am going to try to find like a local team, potentially Liberty. I heard someone was saying Liberty has an Ultimate Frisbee team.
Yeah.
Maybe a high school round and just like
I don't know of any high school teams.
Maybe like once a week or something like that. Maybe show up and see if I can help out.
Liberty's team was decent, never great. We stole one of their better players to play on the disc golf team.
Really?
And they never forgave us. It was Trevor's roommate.
Pete.
Yeah, he was playing disc golf on the disc golf team and the Ultimate team. And disc golf nationals fell on the week that like Ultimate, either nationals or regionals fell on. And so we had to make a decision.
Oh,
and we persuaded him to come to the disc golf nationals because we were like, look, dude, do y'all have a chance of going to Ultimate Nationals and like actually winning? He's like, no. And I was like, we do. Like, we have a chance of winning a national championship.
He made the right choice, probably.
So he was like, yeah, you're right. And so he like quit the Ultimate team like a month before. And yeah, it did not go well. We were trying to set up a match of like, we play 9 holes of disc golf doubles and then we play Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to figure out a way of like, the stroke differential and the points differential of like which is the better frisbee team. So we faced off against Ultimate on the disc golf course, and then we played Ultimate, like actual Ultimate, and like a stroke differential.
It would probably be pretty fair because you guys would be terrible at Ultimate, but they would have a really hard time. Would you allow them to use Ultra Stars to play?
No.
Okay.
Would they allow us to use the Nova to like?
No, I mean, that's different though, because like an Ultra Star is PGGA approved.
No, but like for practice, what we would do to practice upshots, we did this drill because we were trying to practice, our coach wanted us to practice upshots, condition, and conditioning essentially.
Okay.
So what we would do is, let's say that me and you are partners.
Yeah.
Every person had a partner. And so you would line up on the end zone and you would take off, and I'd be standing at midfield basically. Mm-hmm. You would take off from the end zone to the other end zone, and I would throw that 150 or back up to like 200-foot shot.
Okay.
So we'd learn like to throw nose up with touch and let it float into the end zone, and then you'd catch it, and if you caught it, we got a point. And then you'd run over to midfield while I followed behind you at the end zone, and then I'd have to sprint the 100 yards and then you throw to me.
So you guys are you're basically doing like an ultimate.
But thing. We were playing with our putters. So like my team always threw my Nova. So that's what okay. I'm saying. It's like if we were playing with a Nova, we might have had something because we got very good at it.
Couple things I'll say last with ultimate, and hopefully some people call in on this. The one thing that is just kind of frustrating for me is the notion of like saying that we're better than everyone else because we include everyone. But then as soon as someone comes with like an outside perspective or a different opinion, they like are very quick to just like cancel that person or like say have nothing to do with that person, which is seems like the exact opposite of what they preach. And that's slightly frustrating. And then the other thing I would say too that is interesting is, you know, obviously I talked about like it didn't seem like there was too much growth viewership wise, and I would also say it didn't seem like there was that much growth playing ability wise, which was a little frustrating to see too, because I mean I played, what was it, 2010 was college, so what is that, 11 or 12 years ago. The amount of growth that you've seen in disc golf, because I would consider ultimate and disc golf both on the same kind of like in the growing stage. They're very young. A lot of people don't even know about them.
Yeah.
A lot of people haven't even tried to play them. So you're getting a lot of new players coming in. The amount of growth that you've seen on like the high level, like the pros on disc golf in the last 12 years is drastic. If you go 12 years back, there might only be a couple people that are competitive.
Yeah.
And those people probably 12 years ago would probably never win on the pro tour now.
Probably.
And so that's where it's like, I don't know. I think with ultimate, I think some of the anti-growth comes from the fact of where some people just don't feel welcomed at all. And it being a team sport, like disc golf, you can get away with it, right? There's plenty of people that don't feel welcome or have a lot of haters or whatever in disc golf.
But it's an individual sport.
Individual sport. You can just zone them out and go. Ultimate, if you come in and like your own teammates are like saying like, oh, you do that off the field and like canceling you or making you uncomfortable for stuff that you do off the field or opinions you have or whatever it may be, that's where it's tough. It's going to be tough to be teammates with that person if you take that into account.
So I also think, at least from I've never played ultimate other than just like pickup games here and there. But from what I've seen on the outside looking in, I think part of the struggle with that building athleticism like you're talking about is the lack of money in the professional side as a player, to where it's very hard to be. Or is there any professional ultimate players that like ultimate is all they do?
No, I mean, there are like ultimate players that own companies.
And no, so, I'm saying like as like I am just a professional ultimate player.
I want to say last time I heard players were getting $50 a game, and then there might have been a couple players getting, you know, a couple $1,000 maybe to like play for teams. I don't, maybe someone in the chat knows.
I think like, that's the tough part is like
of bigger contracts being done. But
to be a really good ultimate player, you have to be a very good athlete. To where you might not be able to be good enough, like to get that increased athleticism, like we're seeing it in disc golf now. Because once the disc golf money is there, players are more motivated to fully commit their life to training, dedicating all of that. And then you're going to get more and more athletic people to be like, you know, I can try to make it in, you know, minor league baseball, or I can make comparable money or more money playing disc golf that I love just as much.
Yeah.
Or ultimate to disc golf is also, we've seen a lot of ultimate players transition into playing a lot more disc golf, I think probably for similar things of like, yeah, I can work my 9-to-5 and play ultimate on the weekends, or I can do what I love, throwing a frisbee just in the form of disc golf and do it 52 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people also, there's two different like leagues. There's the pro league, which I guess does pay players like $25-$50 a game. And then there's another league, which is almost kind of like the PDGA and the Disc Golf Pro Tour, very similar, like two different kind of national tour, Disc Golf Pro Tour. And the national tour has been around forever. And this is like Club Ultimate, USA Ultimate. It's been around forever. So like winning that Club Nationals is still like the biggest achievement in Ultimate. and that is not sponsored or paid for by anyone. So you're flying to California, you're flying to Boston, you're flying to places in Florida. So like at the end of the year, you're paying for uniforms, you're paying for hotels. At the end of the year, you're spending a couple grand, $1,000, $2,000. So yeah, I mean, it is a complete commitment. And the people that are playing Ultimate clearly love Ultimate.
Yeah.
Like they're not doing it for any other reason, but there also is that kind of mentality of, I don't know if it's a hive mentality or just like where it's almost kind of like, it almost sometimes feels like a frat sorority type of thing of where you're in that group and those are like your group of friends and all that stuff. And so like there are some, like, yeah, there are, clicky. There are like obviously in the top level, a lot of those people are playing to try to win, but there are people even on top level teams and especially on lower level teams that are playing because it's like a way for them to socialize and stuff like that. So there's two different kind of sides. It's kind of weird when you have a person like that on like a top level team, because you're like, hey, we need to go run track, and the commitment isn't necessarily all the way there, especially when you're talking about there's no money. But we'll see if anyone calls in for Ultimate. That's enough about the flat ball. I also thought that's what they should have changed their name to, because you can't have your name. I never liked Ultimate Frisbee, because like I don't like the idea of having like an adjective
Ultimate
in your sport.
I just love being able to say that.
Yeah, I mean, you never can get away. You never will go away from saying that. But it's like, I don't know. It just always was kind of weird having an adjective.
I mean, why couldn't you just call it Frisbee?
Well, it's trademarked. That's why.
Disc ball.
Well, I like flat ball.
But it's not flat a ball. Ball is a stick. It's not a ball. Ball.
Yeah, but it's a flat ball. If a ball was flat, it'd be a Frisbee. All right. Enough of that. Let's quickly, a lot of people talking about the giveaway. So we got, if you guys haven't, go to foundationdisc.com. We still have some Rocket Roaches left. But when we got some Rocket Roaches, they sent us a blank, which is, how rare is this, Silas?
That's the only one.
Yeah, I don't think we got another blank.
Out of a lot.
Very, very rare to get a blank. So this is a Rocket Roach blank, and we decided to sign the back, all three of us from debate night. Here you go. This is the giveaway for episode 20. So if you're watching, thank you so much for watching live. If you're listening and you want to see what the disc looks like, you can go over on Debate Night Pod's Twitter. We posted some photos of that. And if you're interested in winning this bad boy, all you have to do is, Silas, tell the people. No, you have no idea. I know.
I was going to say.
I was like, what in the world?
All you have to do is go over onto our Foundation Podcast YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe. Be a subscriber to Foundation Podcast on YouTube. Drop a like on this video. So if you're watching live right now, which 358 of you beautiful people are, drop a like on the video here and then leave a comment. Not right now because this is live, but come back. If you watch all the way through, just wait until we post it. But leave a comment in the actual comment section, not in the live chat, in the actual comment section of your favorite disc, what your favorite disc is, whatever that may be. And we will click on your name, make sure you're a subscriber, and get your contact information and send this beautiful, beautiful disc out to you. So that is the Rocket Roach, folks. Remember,
Rocket Roach, folks.
Remember to leave it in the comment section and not in the live chat. All right, should we talk? I feel like now is a perfect time to talk about how Hunter was trying to be Woj of disc golf. The Woj of disc golf.
It was a good run.
Was trying to be Mr. Leaks.
It was a good run.
And he got destroyed, apparently.
Okay, not...
No? Okay. No,
I did not all get right, destroyed.
Do you want to explain the story?
I don't know. I don't know how much I, like...
Well, whatever you can say. Fill the people in on, like, a little bit of what was going
okay,
on.
Okay, so it all started with a DM months ago that was in regards to Gavin Rathbun going to Dynamic Discs. And I got it from a source that I could easily... I don't even know if I verified this first source because, like, it was so obvious that it was true through this source that I was like, this is it. Like, I can tweet this because people won't know. So I leaked initially the Gavin Rathbun to Dynamic Discs. Big move, yes. Blockbuster move, no. There was nothing but positive things because, like, even Dynamic Discs was liking all the tweets, like people from Dynamic. everyone was like, it was exactly what I was intending to do, which is like create an extra week of like marketing hype and suspense around a move, right? And then obviously there's benefit for me because it's coming from my personal Twitter. So in my head, it's like a win all around.
Heck yeah.
So that one gets leaked, works out beautifully, boom. Then a few weeks later, I start getting pictures of Eric Oakley playing in Team Infinite gear in Utah.
Who's sending you these pictures? People are sending you pictures in your DMs.
Yes. So people are DMing me this. So I get it. By the time, first picture, I'm like, meh. You know, is that actually Eric Oakley or just someone that looks like him? Hard to know. He had already left Dynamic Disc at this point. And then it like, by like three or four pictures I got of Eric Oakley playing in Team Infinite stuff, it was when Infinite was like doing the promo videos of him.
Okay.
By like that three or four, I was like, people are posting these pictures. Like, this is obvious. So I tweeted it. Again, same idea. It gives like an extra week or so of like hype, build up, whatever. Well, then I start getting DMs regarding bigger deals, plural, of like multiple different people. And most of them are coming from random accounts that I'm like, I mean, Joe Schmo could just be DMing me to mess with me. Like, that means nothing to me. And so like I kept getting them. Well, eventually I get the like Ricky to DD. Those rumors have been everywhere, right? Well, obviously, since those rumors have been everywhere, multiple people are DMing me. Most of them just random people. Well, then eventually it starts to get to be where like more and more people that I would trust a little bit more to know this. But I was like, I'm not leaking this. Like, I can't do it. Well, then someone like literally, I had a few different people DM me. None of them connected to Ricky directly, Innova, Dynamic, anyone that's like actually a part of this deal, whether it does or doesn't or did or didn't happen, this deal. No one's directly connected to that.
Okay.
But it's people that I would trust that like, hey, if they're telling me this 100% confidently, they've got to know. And so, again, it's still just rumors and speculation, but I'm just waiting until I'm confident enough in the rumors and speculation to be like, I'm willing to put my name on it, like, that I'm leaking this. Mm. I still wasn't comfortable, but then I started getting tweets from people or messages from people who were like, do it. Like, leak it. Like, go for it. And, like, people that, like, I was like...
Like the little devil on your shoulder.
I was like, these people should know what's, like, this is the truth. And they're like, do it. Come on. And I was like, okay. You know what? So, like, spur of the moment, I don't think through anything of like how much bigger this deal would be if it happened to happen than the previous deals.
Yeah.
So I'm not thinking about any of that. I'm just thinking like, all right, I'm the leak guy. Wrong mentality. So I just freaking sent it and it starts blowing up, obviously, because I was the like, there have been a lot of rumors, but what I wasn't thinking about is me tweeting it makes it more official than just like some random person on Reddit.
Correct.
So I'm just thinking of it of like, I'm going to just put the Hunter Thomas, like, I'm confirming this. I think this is truly going to happen. That's in my frame of mind. It's like, I am now saying that this is my official speculation, my official take on it, my official whatever. In thinking that, I use the word official, and I think that's what kind of got me in trouble, is it seemed to look more official than it was, because it was just me tweeting an opinion. At the end of the day, an opinion that, again, has not happened, might not happen, who knows, because it is just a rumor and opinion. I was just confident enough to tweet it. And so then I had like one of the multiple sources that had reached out to me. At this point, it had to be close to 20, from random people up to people I trusted. One of the people that I trusted that had like reached out and talked to me about it started filling me in of like, he's like, hey, have you ever thought of like the risks of what you're doing when you're leaking stuff? And I was like, risks? What do you mean? Like, I'm giving people free hype is what I'm thinking. And then he like talked to me for back and forth for like 10-15-20 minutes. I don't even know. We were just texting back and forth, and he was walking me through like different scenarios that could happen because of my leaks. Okay. He wasn't saying these things are happening. He was like filling me in like, hey, I just wanted to open your eyes from like a different perspective.
Gotcha.
Of like, these are troubles that you could cause. Not, I know you don't intend to, but these are troubles you could cause. And so once I started thinking from it from that perspective, I was like, if I actually cause any of those troubles, I would never forgive myself if I was the person I caused it for. So whether or not that those troubles are happening or aren't happening, anything like that, I don't know. This person was just being nice to me to be like, hey, before you keep going down this road of leaks, you might want to just take a step back and look at like issues you could cause between like deals that haven't gone through yet, deals that aren't actually going through, and now there's mistrust between player and company, deals that are just fully rumor, and like now you're just causing all kinds of issues, or like you know, if they have this long marketing plan and now you're screwing it up. Like, lots of different things that, like, again, in my head, I was being helpful and being like, it was harmless to me. But then he started being like, well, this is how it could be harmful. And I was like, yeah, you know, it might be smart for me just to send a tweet out to retire from the leak game.
The little backpedal.
Yeah. Retire from the leak game and also make sure all of my bases were covered with all of my leaks, letting people know, like, when these leaks weren't coming from players that were part of the deal, companies that were part of the deal, anything like that. It was just that, like, once my DMs got full enough of people telling me this is true, I was like, it's gotta be true. It's gotta be. And so I'd send it. And yeah, so that was essentially the whole story.
There was a little confusion because obviously us as a retailer, we have relationships with all the manufacturers, right?
Correct.
So there's a little confusion. Some people are like, well, you don't really want to get on the bad side of anyone. And at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, but if someone's leaking something, then like they technically are the person that they should be trying to figure out. But at the same time, you probably could have, you know, probably could have like held back too. And then the second thing I was going to say is you almost felt, because I feel like this happens in other sports where it's like the paparazzi thing where a celebrity will say, like, they'll call in, like, or so, they'll have someone leak information of where they're going to be. So they know the paparazzi is going to be there and take photos. Like, it was almost kind of getting to that point of where you could have been that person of where if someone wanted to say something, but they didn't want to be the voice to come from them. They wanted it to be said by someone else. They get someone to leak it to Hunter and then Hunter puts it out there in the atmosphere. So, you're out. Less pressure on you though.
Well, eventually that will exist because that exists. I think that was also where I was coming from. Is like, it exists in every other sport, but the difference is like in other sports, I don't know fully how it works, but other sports, it seems much more intentional leaks. Whereas, like, these weren't intentional leaks. It was just rumors that I was, like, willing to bet my Twitter reputation that this rumor's true, essentially.
Yeah, and some people in the comments are talking about how, you know, how is this different than Prodigy?
Someone responded to one of my tweets trying to say it was the same thing. But here's the difference. Okay, Prodigy, Westside, both manufacturers. Prodigy posted as a manufacturer saying, like, hey, Matteo's leaving. Good luck at Westside. So coming from Prodigy, that's from the official source, official company that he's with, and is now fully confirming, spoiling the Westside deal. We, Foundation, first off, didn't tweet it as a company. Okay. But even if we did, we have no relationship with any of the players that we're tweeted about or with. It would be different if I was like, hey, speculation, back in 2018, speculation, Paul's leaving Innova going to Discraft. Like, if I tweeted that, people would be like, oh, well, Hunter would know.
Yeah.
So, like, it's got to be true. So, that's, to me, that's the biggest difference, is I was also not tweeting as a company, which I know some people, I think what was happening is people who don't fully follow me and aren't fans of Griplock and Debate Night and all of that.
Yeah. They don't see that. They don't see the media side.
Exactly.
Where you are, you're trying to bring something that needs to be there in disc golf that currently isn't there.
Well, they also don't see me separate from Foundation, because like they view me as the owner face of Foundation in a certain way, which that's fair. That's true. But I view Foundation as like, we have Foundation Disc Golf, our retail store, part A. We have Griplocked podcast that I'm a part of. We have Debate Night podcast that I'm a part of. We have Foundation Disc Golf YouTube channel. We have Foundation Disc Review YouTube channel, and we have Foundation Nation. And I'm sure we have other things, our Patreon. I view all of those as different things. And then I view my personal Twitter as my personal Twitter. And so that's the whole reason I created my personal Twitter, is I didn't used to have that. So when I want to say something that I'm not speaking for Griplock, Debate Night, Foundation, anything, I'm just speaking as myself, I put that on Twitter. And so that's where, like, when I tweet anything like that, even like random stuff about disc golf in general, when I'm trying to get people's opinions or I'm giving an opinion, whatever, if it was a Foundation Disc Golf take, a Foundation Disc Golf opinion, it would come from our Twitter account or our Instagram account. But when it's just me tweeting, it's me tweeting. And I think some people who like don't follow us close enough don't know that line exists of like, oh, this is Hunter talking versus, oh, this is Foundation Disc Golf talking.
I would say also, there needs to be multiple voices in the space, right? You can't have it to where there are just a handful of companies that own the entire space, and whatever they say, everyone just believes and just goes about their day. If you have a spot where like only a couple companies hold you, we need more media. We need more people talking about it to hold other companies reliable. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
And so obviously this isn't really what you tweeted, doesn't necessarily have anything to say about that. But if something happens and someone just tweets it out and everyone's like, oh, well, that's 100% what happened, but there's another side of the story. Like that other side of the story should also be put out into the space, and like not just by like some random person that no one knows. Like there needs to be more media going after and trying to get stories and hear from stuff. And it's just going to generate more stuff to talk about at the end of the day. So do you ever go on Disc Golf Reddit? Someone said that you got roasted on there. Or maybe I got roasted. I don't know.
Someone
got roasted on Reddit.
I've never seen
they
a post
to know how
on
we
Reddit.
Feel about it.
I feel great because I've never seen a post on Reddit where we haven't been roasted.
Yeah, Reddit. So like, Reddit's an interesting one for sure.
There's certain accounts on Twitter and certain like Reddit threads and stuff like that. Now there's some Reddit threads that people just talk out their butt, and I'm like, what? You're really getting upset at us over that? Like. Mm. Take 2 seconds to like listen to us or pay attention to us, and you'll realize that what you're saying about us makes no sense. Other ones, I'm just like, okay, this person's just an idiot. And so when I see certain things or like certain accounts on Twitter respond and disagreeing with me, it like makes me confident I was right. I'm gotcha. Like, okay, perfect. If this
that's when you know
if
all
this is
are
being
right
said or this is being like disagreed with or this account on Twitter or whatever is disagreeing with me, I'm like, okay, boom. That was a good take. Good
oh,
job,
they're
huh?
saying people were mad that we did a video today that Simon also did.
Well, our video was first. And Simon's even also DM'd us. We dropped them within 2 hours of each other. So
even
there's
if
no
it wasn't,
possible way either
thing,
person copied the other
the,
person.
The
it's
funny
not physically
thing, though,
possible.
Is like, even if it wasn't first, it's like, at the end of the day, who cares? Who cares? People yeah. see if Simon sees a good idea and thinks yeah. they can do a different spin on it, that's fine. You
Simon also DM'd us.
Can't be upset about it.
Simon DM'd us. And I think he was trying to make sure we didn't think he copied us.
We don't care.
Which, A, we don't care.
That's not
and
even,
B,
it's not like a crazy
again,
original idea.
Well, B, it literally wasn't possible for him to copy us because they basically dropped at the same time. Like,
yeah,
it's not physically,
hours.
It's not physically possible for
There's
him to have
also,
shot and edited that whole video in 2 hours.
If you look up on YouTube, longest hole,
yeah.
you'll see probably 50 or 60 golf videos yeah. of people playing.
But it ended up that we're going to hopefully be able to collab with Simon and break both of our records for the longest hole. I did see this back when people were talking about like the foundation that someone said you deleted the comment, but
oh heck yeah, I deleted it. That yeah. guy. Well,
so he said foundation is backed by investors. Hint, hint. LOL. That's why their cast is subpar. I don't know where he's getting that information. We've never
what
taken.
Does that mean? Backed
we've
by
never
investors?
Taken an investor
are saying,
dime.
Are they saying
ever.
Me and your money?
Yeah, I mean, I put my own money in sweat equity. In.
Heck yeah, we're invested, baby.
Sure.
Let's go.
I've never been more invested in a company in my life.
Silas, are you invested?
Silas has put sweat in.
Yeah, you got sweat over there.
Yeah, sweat.
Yeah. Silas is invested.
But I just
heck
I thought
yeah.
it was funny that he like thought he was in the know. Like that's why the cast is subpar. Hint, hint. I'm like,
I don't even know what that means.
What are you talking about?
This is a good little transition though, and then we'll open up the lot of phone calls because I think we are going to have some good calls tonight. I'm hoping. I'm crossing my fingers. With talking about just the making money thing. So. It's the whole notion. It almost goes hand in hand with the YouTube side, right? Where people get like butthurt over videos being similar. When in fact, it's like, you should just be like, everyone should just be looking at it as like excitement of like, wow, more and more people are wanting to put disc golf content out there. That is yeah. a good thing. Like if
I also love like,
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but go back before I was in disc golf, how many pros were doing YouTube videos?
Well, back in the day, YouTube content was, you could watch.
No, but how many pros were doing YouTube videos?
None. You could watch like Innova would put out In the Bags. Dynamic would put out In the Bags. Prodigy put out in like, that was it. You had In the Bags and you had coverage.
You have so many pros now, which I think is awesome to a standpoint. I think obviously if they were getting paid enough money, a lot of these people probably wouldn't create YouTube channels because As people know.
Some people do really like Simon.
Some people love it.
Simon
loves
it. So yeah. Simon would do it no matter what.
Well, Simon's already talked about. He cares more about the entertainment side than winning. So,
but there are
like,
some people who probably, if they had the option, would be like, I'd prefer not to do YouTube.
Not have
but
to do
it's not bad. It's fun.
Correct. But it is a lot of work. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It might look like, to someone that's never tried it, it might look like, oh my gosh, that's so much fun. It's so easy.
Well, if you, yeah.
It is a lot of work.
Yes, but it's also a lot of fun. If you're the right, if you enjoy that type of content.
Well, we have it a little bit easier, right? Because we don't have to edit. Like the editing process of it.
Well, it wasn't always that way.
No, I know. I know. But
it's not always that way.
A lot of people, a lot of the pros that are doing it are doing the editing themselves and doing everything from step one to step two. And if you try to do that while playing in tournaments also, it's a lot of work. That's all I'm trying to say. You got to give these people credit for going out there and doing the content. But my point is, there's a weird stigma of where it's like people, if they see similar content, they get upset. And then this other stigma of where like only certain people are allowed to make money in disc golf. There's like this idea of where like certain people can get away with whatever they want. Like they can do whatever they want and no one's going to say anything. No one's going to blink an eye. But then if you're not in that little category and you're somewhere over here and you're doing the same exact thing, all of a sudden people get very upset. And we saw this on Twitter, which you so magnificently?
Sure.
Magnificently?
Yeah, that's a word.
Well, I know it's a word. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You found this, what would you call it? Alt account? Fake account? No, burner account. Burner account. You found their burner account, which was absolutely hilarious. I love it when this happens. It is from our friends over at Frother Magazine. Their most famous thing is the interview that they did with the
Jerk Move.
That's a Jerk Move guy. And they love coming after Foundation, which again, I feel like we have a lot of people come after us with some things that are very, very true. Like constructive criticism that we take, we try to figure out, try to get better. We're a growing business. We're, you know, we call ourselves a small shop. We are. And, but there are some people that no matter what happens, they will always come after us. And it was really funny. You might want to tell the story of it, but it was really funny because they came after, again, the Janus thing. I don't know why everyone went nuts with the Janus diss. We made a Janus hat that people can get. Some people are very excited about it. I don't know.
It's pretty sick looking hat.
Yeah, I don't know why people get so upset about it, but they got upset about the Janus hat. And you can kind of, if you want to explain a little bit about the tweet and what they tweeted out previously to kind of show the hypocrisy of it all.
Oh, I have it pulled up. Okay, cool. I thought it pulled it up. So they basically just linked to, I saw it because I think I'm following them just because I always find this humorous. I love following people who like routinely hate on us. So if you go through my followers, you can find that I'm following a lot of people that you're like, why are you following that person? This is why. Because this is very, very entertaining to me. So they just said, Foundation Disc Golf, definitely. You might be listening. If you're listening, thanks, guys. Foundation Disc Golf, definitely in it for the love of the game. And then link to the Janus hat. But what I found funny is Trevor and I had found this guy's burner account forever ago. He denies it's his burner account, which is, I mean,
Well, they responded to the tweet, though.
But no, they accidentally responded.
Yeah,
so,
they accidentally responded to that tweet without their burner account.
Yeah, so if you go to the tweet...
So, like, you would never... This happened the... No, this happened...
Well, how I figured out it was a burner account is this one account had one follower, was following no one, had one follower, and it was Frother Magazine. And they were constantly tweeting, coming after us, constantly.
Rookie mistake.
And I was like, who the heck is this guy?
Rule number one, if you have a burner account, don't follow your actual account.
Yeah. And so... Then they tweeted Foundation Disc Golf definitely enough to love their game from their main account, and then also from their main account responded and just said definitely. And I was like, that was weird. And so then I just quote tweeted and said, wonder if they realized they forgot to use their burner for this one. But then when I clicked on their page, just because I was like curious, I honestly clicked on it to see if we gained them followers, like if we were kind of like helping them out. We gained them like 10.
That's fine.
Yeah, so you're welcome for that as well. But I clicked on their page and their pinned tweet is them selling apparel. And so I found that even funnier. So I quote tweeted that and said, maybe they should call this the Love of the Game collection because they were coming after us for selling apparel.
Yeah.
And then people loved it. And
it's a weird thing. I, you know, PDGA Rodman is another interesting character. I actually reached out to him to see if he would actually come on the show.
PDGA Rodman actually agreed with us on the Elaine King, the rookie of the year, Juliana Korver. So, you know.
But I did message him on the PDGA Rodman guy on Instagram, and he sent back a lengthy thing saying, I'm not going to really get into it too much, but essentially he didn't want to come on, and there's a lot of opinions that he says just to get clicks and whatever it may be. It would have been cool to have him come on.
Well, probably didn't want to come on for the risk of his voice being recognized.
Well, you can do a voice modulator. That would have been fine. One of those voice modulator thingies. But it would have been cool to have him come on because he has come after me. He's come after Janice. He's come after Foundation a lot. It'd always be nice to have, you know, some people come on, and he does make a lot of funny memes. And again, that's something that's like, at a certain point, there are certain things that are off limits to me. Like if you come after my family at all, like to me, I think that's just off limits, and I'm not going to have any respect for you. And unfortunately that's has happened. And unfortunately it's also happened with some guys on tour. I don't want to get into that either, but like certain people that you think are your friends, and then, you know, they go behind your back and talk bad about you and talk bad about your wife. And like, to me, that's just talk bad about me all you want. When it comes to Kelsey, off limits. And I feel like that's just a normal thing to do in a normal world. But I found it's also funny for him because he also comes after our products, right? He said something about the Janice disc as well, but he's over here selling Rodman merch. He doesn't even own the rights to Rodman, and he's over there. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, everyone's trying to make money and make disc golf their job.
Yeah.
So I just don't know why people come after. Like, if someone puts up, if you think the Janice hat is a dumb hat, that's
don't
fine.
Buy it.
Don't
like,
buy
that,
it.
It's literally that simple. Click on it, be like, oh, that's dumb. And but you can scroll on by.
But my other thing too is like, if you think it's dumb, you can also tweet and be like, that's stupid. That looks like a dumb hat. But don't be like, oh, these people are in it for the money. Well, yeah, we're trying to pay people's bills.
We're a business. We're not a charity.
We have people. We have employees.
We have like 8-10 employees on payroll that we're trying to make pay. Every week. It's a pretty straightforward how a business works. If no money comes in, nothing goes out. So if you enjoy content and you enjoy our website or you enjoy anything we put out, money has to come in for that to continue to go out.
Yeah. So
it's pretty straightforward how it works.
So I think all these accounts, you know, PGA Rodman included, you know, he's trying to build, he's probably very similar to an account called PGA Memes, which is a golf account that posts very similar things to what he posts. And PGA Memes was able to get such a following where now he did the Jason Day tour that you guys saw. You watched that. That's the PGA Memes guy. Mm. He started as PGA Rodman, basically, of just making memes of golf, got huge. So like, could that happen for PGA Rodman? Of course. And would that be awesome for him? Yeah. And does he want that to happen? I'm sure. I'm sure he would love to be able to make a living off of that. So it's just one of those things of where I don't understand when people attack that, and maybe someone will come on and call in and explain some things. But at the end of the day, it's like, if someone puts out a product, I mean, how many times have we seen other pros on tour put stuff out that they want to make money off of? And we just look at it like, who would buy that? You scroll on by.
Yeah.
Scroll on by. Of course, everyone's trying to make a living. Everyone's trying to pay the bills. So, Andrew Mills, thanks for the $5. Hot take, Hunter, forget how to play disc golf. Those grip locks in a video a few days ago were savage.
Yes,
I think
I did forget how to play disc golf.
Well, I'll say
100%. That's not even a hot take. That's an ice cold take.
On your account, I will say you're going through what I'm actually going through as well, and it's very difficult, is working out, like lifting weights and stuff. Your body reacts differently. Your timing's off.
Well, I'm working out, and then after work, I'm grinding to try to break 100 on the golf course. And so one of the biggest things for me in golf is not moving my wrist and not breaking my wrist. That's something I was struggling with, right? So I figured it out. Like, I got it to where, like, I can come through on my golf swing, my wrists don't break good. And what that means in disc golf is, like, when my wrist cocks back from my forehand, it feels very unnatural right now. And like, my hip motion for my forehand now feels unnatural because I have a hip motion for golf, because I've practiced golf over the last month, probably 10 times more than I practiced disc golf over the last month. So yeah, I suck at disc golf. It just, as soon as I break 100, I'll get to the field. I'll do some field work. I'll be back. Don't worry. It's going to be a minor setback for a major comeback. You know what I mean?
Wait until you see Trevor's video from, I don't know when we're posting this, probably 2 weeks from now.
Which video?
The one that we filmed today where he was just like bombing shots.
That one will come out a few weeks from now. Yeah. The other one we filmed
Trevor
today
looks
will come out.
Amazing right
Trevor,
now.
Trevor is having the opposite thing. I think he stole... Well, no, because he's playing better than me. He stole his talent from someone.
He's playing incredible. Dean, thanks for the $5. Is it more beneficial as an intermediate or advanced player to only throw one brand?
No.
I would say as a beginner, yes. Because
really?
It's, yeah, I think.
Well, I guess to learn.
As a beginner, it would be the easiest, you know, obviously with Discraft, it'd be the easiest to throw like a meteor, a buzz, and a drone to see the difference in stabilities for mid ranges. For an intermediate or advanced, no. I think.
I mean, I've always been in the camp of like, if you're not being paid to throw one brand, don't throw one brand. Because like, where it's true that every company has every line, every like flight, they don't have every feel for every flight.
Yeah.
So like for me, there is no disc on the market that feels as good as a Thunderbird and accomplishes that flight. Nothing. I've tried PDs. I've tried Vultures. I've tried Onyxes. I've tried... Pretty much, you name it, I've tried it. The Thunderbird is the disc for me, right?
Where if I grab a Thunderbird and I grab a Vulture, I have no problem with throwing the Vulture.
Like, yeah,
the Vulture feels.
I also have a Vulture in my bag.
So I think
where
there's
I lost mine,
yeah, it's different. The point is, it's different.
But
for
then
everyone.
For my mids, I don't like the Rock 3. I like the MD3.
Mm.
And then for my drivers, I love the Zeus. I love the Destroyer. I have right now a Crystal Flex Glow Nuke SS. So, like, to me, I like the feel of a bunch of different plastics, a bunch of different brands that accomplish the flights I need to where, like, when I was Prodigy only, when I was sponsored by Prodigy in college, was I a much better player than I am now? Yes, 100%. But there was a few shots and a few things that, like, I wasn't as comfortable with my H3 V2 that I was as my Beaten Thunderbird. I just wasn't as comfortable. Nothing wrong with the disc. They both flew the exact same. It's just in my hand, I wasn't as comfortable. When I left Prodigy... Starting Foundation, eventually I was on the Discraft Underground team. We carried only Discraft. Same thing. There were just some discs where I was never as comfortable with the buzz as I was with an MD3. That just is what it was.
Danny, thanks for the $5. All right, let's open up some calls here, Sias. Hopefully we stirred the pot up a little bit with some people.
Oof.
With some people.
Yeah, I see why you didn't read it. It wasn't a curse word.
No, it wasn't. But hopefully stir the pot up a little bit. People want to call in. Obviously, we have just to kind of review stuff that we talked about. Obviously, anything is up for grabs as far as what you guys want to talk about. What we talked about today, though, is the Jake Paul fight, Hunter as some people call the double agent, and then making money in
the
disc
double
golf.
Agent.
Someone said that. I don't know. It was kind of cool. I don't know.
Okay.
We got someone. Hello, hello.
Hey, Silas. This is Michael. How are you doing?
Michael, what's good, man?
Hey, I'm the guy talking about nuts.
Like peanuts?
He tweeted me today. Yeah, no nuts in dessert.
Oh, okay. No nuts in dessert. Oh, what's good, man? How you doing?
Doing good. Basically, desserts, they don't need nuts. So banana bread, no nuts. Pecan pie, no way. Pumpkin pie,
okay.
It doesn't have nuts.
Desserts do need nuts. I mean, there's...
Wait, did you call in previously about this topic?
Nope.
No, he's trying to... He wants to talk about it right now. Oh, he tweeted it. I didn't see the tweet.
On Twitter. On Twitter.
Oh, he tweeted on Twitter.
I mean, I agree.
I was looking on Instagram.
Desserts don't need nuts. Nuts, in my opinion, makes desserts worse. So I'm in that camp. So I'm out. I agree with you, Michael.
Man.
I'm in the camp that there's very few... There's some desserts where, like... Yeah, nuts aren't necessary, but there's some where it's like, if you take nuts away, it makes the dessert worse.
What?
Banana chocolate chip bread, walnuts in it, makes it better. Pecan pie, I mean, then it's just what, like a chocolate pie?
Yeah,
you're naming a bunch of stuff that's worse already than the original stuff.
Pecan pie is incredible. Pecan pie is one of the best pies.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
Chocolate mousse.
Silas, mute. Wait, you say chocolate mousse? What do you add to chocolate mousse? Peanuts? That'd be good.
No, he doesn't like...
Pecan pie without pecans is chocolate mousse. Okay, that's
fair. Chocolate mousse is actually really good.
That's just chocolate pie.
Yeah, which is
chocolate
probably
pie is good.
Which is
chocolate
better
pie
than
is
pecan
great.
Pie.
It's not bad. No, they're different. They're different. You can't say one's better than the other. There, I'm trying to think. Oh, cookies, peanut. Hear me out. Peanut cookies with peanut like chunks in them, way better. Like peanut butter cookies with peanut chunks in them.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Yeah. Way better.
I would say the only cookie that I like with nuts is a white macadamia.
White macadamia nut. Probably one of my favorite cookies of all time.
I do like white macadamia nut. But is it better than like an oatmeal raisin? Mm. See, that's I'm weird though.
You just
I don't
gotta go chocolate chip at Costco for that.
Yeah, it's true.
Now imagine chocolate chip with some peanuts in there.
Yeah, you have a
better.
You have a Snickers.
Snickers. Oh, Snickers are incredible.
Yeah,
Snickers the best candy bar.
But that's candy. That's candy.
Milky Way.
That's candy.
I don't like Milky Way nearly as much as Snickers.
Yeah, Snickers is better than Milky Way.
Yeah.
Brownies with walnuts, much better than plain brownies. Someone says disagree there. I am on the team of the nuts, but I'm not on a walnut and brownie. If I show up and you put walnuts in my brownies.
We got to go to a different topic because the whole nuts situation. Michael, thank you so much for calling in, man.
Hey, one last thing. I don't like flatball, so find another name, but thank you guys.
You don't like, hey, it's okay. A lot of people did not like flatball, so it's all good. The name dies.
Right, have a good show,
the name dies. Take it easy, man. I didn't know where that conversation was going when he first called saying I'm the nut guy.
I forgot.
You tweeted back and forth with this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Come on, Silas.
Silas, you got to remember these
set
things.
Set us up there. A guy who came on just saying, talking about nuts from the get-go. We talked about nuts for like a long time ago.
That was like 2 episodes back.
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving episode.
God, feels forever. How long was Thanksgiving?
It was like 3 weeks ago.
Was it?
Yeah. It's towards the end of November.
All right, we should have a call.
Hello, hello.
All right. We go on prime rib, turkey, or ham for Christmas dinner.
Ooh, prime rib, turkey, or ham.
If you say anything other than prime rib, you must be crazy.
My choice would be ham, but I'm allergic to prime rib and ham, so I would have to go turkey. Unfortunately.
I don't have
it. It's very unfortunate for me.
If I knew someone that could make a really good prime rib, I would be all about prime rib. But like, I know I can just buy a nice honey ham and have it be delicious.
That used to be my favorite.
I actually don't like, I'm not a huge like out of the oven ham guy. I don't like it when it's warm.
Have you had like a, what is it? Honey baked?
It's
the brand?
Honey baked ham.
Is that the brand?
Smithfield?
Honey baked ham?
It's like a honey baked ham. Yeah. I don't.
That's much better. I don't like cold ham. I'm not really a cold meat guy in general.
You don't like turkey?
Cold honey baked ham. I've never heard of that. That's an interesting move.
No. I'm saying like I like it the next day more out of the refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just make a sandwich out of it.
Yeah. Like I don't, for whatever reason, I don't like when it's like super hot. I don't know.
I'm going prime rib all the way.
I mean, if you have someone that you know that can make a good prime rib, it is delicious and juicy. So,
I'm officially a Silas fan.
Wow.
Join the army, man. He's just building a little army over here. All right, man.
Take it easy, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. Have a good Christmas. We know he's going to be eating good. You already know he's probably smoking up a do you smoke prime rib?
You can.
I don't. Can. Yeah.
I haven't had red meat in like 5 years, so I wish I knew how you cooked prime.
Brandon, thanks for the five. You guys are amazing. I love what you're doing. I'm new to disc golf and I've fallen full force into the game and love that so much. Thanks, guys. Brandon, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the five. We got another call, Size. Now's the time to call in. My gosh, my goodness.
I'm trying to find where I'm getting roasted on Reddit, but I just can't really find it.
It's all over, man. It's over for you.
I mean, every thread I go into, there's something of like F the foundation guy.
Smoking my prime rib. Yeah, okay, so you smoke prime rib.
You can.
But is that the right way to do it?
You know what I did find? And thank you. I'm reading this. I searched foundation in Reddit because I was trying to find me get roasted. And I didn't find it, but I did find this appreciation thread for, it has no comments. Shocker. Appreciation thread for foundation off-season content. It's from Cascadian Corvid.
It's from Trevor Staub.
No, it says, some people talk trash about the Bogey Bros, but I've been enjoying their videos. There's a lot of good content creators, but the foundation guys are cranking it out and keeping us entertained. I'm on hashtag Team Trevor. Dang it. But the rest of the guys are great too, even Brody. Also, if you read this, buy Connor a one wheel for Christmas. I'm a comment on this.
I think I'm going for 2022. Is it 2022 coming up? Yeah.
Yeah.
2022, I'm going anti-controversial. I'm just not going to say anything about anything.
That's not fun.
No opinions.
That's not fun.
All right, we got a call.
Someone does something silly, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to applaud the person. Hello?
Hello.
How are you doing?
Doing great.
I don't like
that people always ask, how you doing when we start up these conversations? It's always, you guys are doing good. They just said that 5 times. Everybody needs to stop asking.
That is true. We are getting a lot. But to be fair, like someone might have like messed us up. And so like we might not be doing as well the next caller, but continue. Go ahead.
That makes some sense. All right. So what I want to talk about is how much you would expect to pay somebody, local pro, for a training session or like lessons.
Interesting. Okay. So like you've got, are you interested in finding having a clinic or something like that? Are you talking about one-on-one situation?
Yeah, I'm interested in like some one-on-one training.
Okay.
And so I reach out through Facebook or whatever other methods.
Hunter
would
probably give you a better answer here.
I mean, I don't really know many local pros that do this. I know Nick Carl locally to us recently started. I don't know his rates. But personally, like I would think a local pro, I'm thinking like 980 to 1,000 rated player. I would think like $25 to $50 for a 1 hour training session is pretty fair. I would, if I had to just kind of throw a random number on it. I think I saw Yuli has like his coaching thing. I don't know. I haven't heard much about that since it launched, but I remember his rate was like $200 for an hour session. I could be wrong there. It was something like that. So like if that's a touring pro level, obviously you don't want to be paying, you know, $150 for a local pro because like you're going to be better off finding a touring pro for the $200 or something like that. But I would say to me, $50 to $25 for an hour coaching session seems reasonable and fair to me.
Yeah, I think I was doing $50 an hour for Ultimate. But
that makes sense.
Yeah, I think there's two ways of doing about it, right? Like some people are saying Yuli's charging $300. I think some people charge really, really high because they want to not have the demand be crazy, right?
They want to do like one or two a week.
Yeah. So I think that's another thing to kind of consider. But yeah, I think what Hunter said seems about fair. And you could probably also too, if you want, you could probably reach out and like maybe even have like after the first one, if the first one's good and you want to continue, you could potentially even ask to like do three or four and pay them in advance for them and maybe get like a little discount. That's another way of doing it too, potentially. Because I'm sure some people might just want the cash and give like $20 off if you pay ahead of time or something. So.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I just, you know, reaching out to people and they're asking like, absurd, like I'd say $100 for a 1,000 rated guy. And I'm like, it just seems a little excessive because like for my personal work, like I'm good at what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm a special person in my company, but I'm not making half that much. And so it just seems ridiculous for somebody to ask like for all of that when they're just a local pro. You know,
it depends.
They're not even like touring.
I would say too, it depends on who it comes from. Some guys on tour might be some of the worst teachers ever, right? So it doesn't really like how good your skill level is doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be, if you're really good, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to teach it to someone. You know, if you look at other sports, obviously the coaches and the people teaching, they're not always past, you know, stars in the league. A lot of them are people that just spend a lot of time learning the form and being able to, the biggest thing with coaching is being able to work with the person that you have, right? So for example, if I went to Eagle and I asked Eagle, hey, teach me how you throw, the certain movements that Eagle can do, I physically can't do anymore just because of my age, right? So I'm limited that way. And so if Eagle only knows how to teach his style of throwing, it's not really going to be useful for me. So that's another thing to think about when you're going into, you know, lessons. It doesn't always mean like if a 10-10 rated guy or 1,000 rated guy or 980 rated guy, like don't always just go off of rating and assume like that person's going to be better at teaching. There might be someone that can communicate to you something a lot better that's lower rated. But I would always do like a one-time lesson.
Yeah.
And like I feel like most people too, their first lesson should be cheaper. It should be almost like gym membership, right? Where it's like you get like a $5 trial to like try it out. So I don't know if that's something that you want to look into as well.
I would also look at,
I feel like a big thing is like what I've been asking is what are they doing to like, are they using video? Are they like recording me so we can analyze my form that way?
Those are good questions. You know? Those are definitely good questions.
Yeah. One thing though I would think about is because you brought up, you know, $100 for an hour and then trying to compare that to like a normal 9-to-5 rate is it's more so you'd almost have to look more in like the we're holding a conference and we're paying for a speaker to come, where what you're paying for is their knowledge and experience that they've built up to give you that 1 hour lesson. Cause like someone, I saw someone said Scott Stokely charges $250 to $350 per hour. But someone like Scott Stokely, you know, if I was a player who wanted to make it to that top level, to the touring level, I would, the advantage I can get with Scott, with Stokely, is he's been there. You know, he's been able to play at that top level. So if I'm a younger kid or whatever, and I'm trying to get to that top level, Scott Stokely also teaches very regularly. So I know he's a good teacher. So I know if I regularly train with him, the value he's able to provide to me is probably worth far above the $250 to $350 because of the knowledge and experience he has. So you'd also have to look at it that way of like, if you're going to someone who, you know, if I told you, you pay me $100 and I can fix your disc golf form to where you're beating all your friends for, you know, months, that is, you know, if you look at it that way, you're almost buying a product, and that makes it more worth it versus just like, well, why is this guy making $100 an hour? It's kind of like a lawyer. Like, do we, like, if you pay a lawyer $600 an hour, you're paying them to make sure that they, you don't make a mistake that costs you $10,000.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, man.
Thanks for all the notes. That was great.
Yeah. Love, appreciate it. Have a great night.
It's like the, I always see this on LinkedIn. It's always cringy when you see it on LinkedIn, and it's going to be cringy when I say it here, but it's kind of funny because it's a, it'll be like, they can't figure out what's wrong with this machine. So they called in a mechanic, and mechanic walked in, walked into the machine, pulled out a, we'll just say a hammer or something. This is always, it's on LinkedIn. Keep that in mind. This is not technically accurate by any means. Pulls out a hammer and tinkers with it for 2 minutes, and then walks out and bills the guy for $10,000. And the guy was like, I watched you. You were in there for like 2 minutes. Can you give me like an itemized list of why did this cost $10,000? And so he goes, oh yeah, sure. So it said 2 minutes tinkering, $10. And then it said the 10 years experience to know where to tinker, $9,990. But it's like that similar idea, right? Yeah. Of like all the experience and wealth of knowledge
up to it.
You're paying for access to that. You're not necessarily just paying for someone to be out there for an hour.
Do we have another car or no? Oh, we do? Okay. Hello, hello?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I have a group of guys that I play with, us four, and we always argue whether or not we should adhere to the 2 meter rule when you throw it in a tree. Do you take a stroke if you're playing like just casually with your bros, or do you play like by hardcore tournament rules? And you say, oh, no, that's 2 meters above the ground. You have to take a stroke.
So the 2 meter rule was only implemented at one tournament on the Pro Tour. I think the 2 meter rule will very soon not be a thing. And so, yeah, if you're playing casually, especially, 2 meter rule doesn't exist.
Okay.
Well, I think it depends some on the course. Like if you're playing in certain courses in California where the 2 meter rule is a part of the design of the course, I personally hate the 2 meter rule, and I think that it just means it's poorly designed holes, but I understand the whole idea is to discourage you from going up and over. So like 2 meter rule where we live at in Virginia, unheard of, and there's no point for it. So there, we would never play with it in a tournament or in a casual round.
Yeah, California is the only place.
If you're playing in like California,
no,
or
they
somewhere,
did it in Vegas too. There's
somewhere,
two
well,
meter
somewhere,
rule in Vegas.
Somewhere where the course can be broken by going up and over things, and like the course rule is like everyone knows we play by the 2 meter rule here. Then, like, if you're taking, you know, if you're being competitive with your buddies, even though it is a casual round, and you're like playing for bragging rights, sure, I would play with a 2 meter rule. Just like I play with OB strokes here.
We're playing up in Seattle in like SeaTac, and there's just a bunch of like these low hanging like holly like trees that just catch discs, and so we've been charging each other strokes on that, and it feels really bad. So I always argue against it, but they're like, that's the tournament rules, dude. That's the way we got to play.
No, I'd say 95% of tournaments don't have that. But if I would say this, if you play around at that course and you are ever intentionally throwing into the tree to stop your disc and just hoping it falls out for you to get a birdie, you should play with a 2 meter rule. But if it's a course where like you get stuck in a tree and it's really bad luck every time, why throw another stroke on that?
2 meter rule and is 90% error if you're throwing into
that's
a tree.
Awesome.
And then so do you have to take it directly where it falls underneath, or do you have the ability to kind of take like the, like, you know, the relief from out of bounds, for example, you can like kind of back up a couple meters or whatever.
Yeah, I believe it's not treated as OB. I've never played with a tournament with 2 meter rules. I've never ran a tournament with 2 meter rules. So I'm only going off of like barely any knowledge of this rule. But as far as I remember, your lie is directly below the disc because it's not a defined OB line. It's more just like a hazard area to where like you mark directly below your disc and that is your lie. So I don't think you get, as long as it's a playable lie, you don't get to pull it back as far as I know.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Of course,
it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too.
We got a $5 dono from either Jesus or Jesus Gonzalez. It says, how long until disc golf pros are taking private jets to tournaments like in golf?
A
long time.
You want my honest answer?
Yes.
Not in our lifetime.
Correct.
Not in our kids'
lifetime. Well, I mean, that's... You have to think about the stupid amount of money that it would have to be like, makes sense for me to take either companies to pay for me to be on those private jets or me to own a private jet to go.
If you did like the whole team, they don't live in the same area though.
Well, also like disc golf doesn't have teams.
But like the disc
what
craft.
What Thais is saying is true.
Oh,
though,
like
there
a disc
are,
craft chartered jet
there are,
to well, go there, from Vegas to
Washington. That, I don't like that idea, but... What Silas is saying is kind of true. There are some pods kind of in PGA Tour where there are like 4 or 5 guys that all, you know, that will split a nice Airbnb.
Yeah.
And they all might jump on a private plane together. But like we're talking about people that are making,
If they win a tournament, they get $1 million.
Well, they're making millions of dollars, and they also have millions of dollars already.
Yeah, so they're millions of dollars, as long as they're smart, their millions of dollars are making them hundreds of thousands of dollars every year.
Correct. Like, you're not going on tour and then, like, have a good year to where you're making millions of dollars and then the next year flying private. You're not doing that. Like,
yeah.
It takes a bit of time to get to that point.
It's a different of, like, you're not, because, like... We'll probably get to a point where players could. It's just you have to have a certain amount of money for it to be like the smart move or the like, okay, that's fine for me to blow that money move. Mm-hmm. Because like right now, why would you? Unless
just
you just want to flex. But then just go pay the like thing in LA or wherever where you can rent the like photo studio that looks like you're in a private jet and take some pictures. Like, just do that if you want. If your whole motivation is behind a private jet, save the money and go flex in the photo booth.
No one is going to make enough money to where flying private makes sense.
What I want to do is I actually want to go rent one of those photo studios where it's like a studio but looks like you're in a private jet, and then just have the photographer there back the camera up. So like I'm posing like I'm in the private jet, but then you can see the whole studio. And I'll post the caption of like, yeah, you know, weekend trip with the boys and like fully serious. And then everyone will be like, what the frick? Like you can see that you're in a studio, not in a private jet. That'd be funny.
Why?
Because that'd be hilarious. That's satire.
You're going to get canceled again on Reddit. You're going to get roasted.
Trevor would find that humor very funny. Because Trevor's sense of humor.
Trevor would.
He's always wanted to do this. And I don't know why he hasn't. So one of you listening, do it. He's always wanted to start an Instagram account. And just post pictures with like the heaviest filters on them that you can possibly have.
Of him?
Him, even just like a disc golf basket.
Okay.
And just heavily filter it to where it's obvious there's no reason to look at the picture and think it was like a normal picture. And then just only caption is hashtag no filter.
Okay.
Just like, cause like, why not?
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, right?
That's kind
of
funny.
Well, it's because you're making fun of the culture of like someone would actually do this and it'd be cringe as crap, but I backed the camera up so you could see I'm in the studio. So I'm making fun of the person that would normally have paid to be in the studio and post weekend trip with the boys. That's the humor. If that makes me a bad person, it makes me a bad person.
All right.
Makes you a bad
person. We got a call.
Guys, we are also trying to make Twitter Spaces a thing in the future to hopefully increase, the call-in situation. Okay. Hello, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's good, man?
Not much. I was curious what your highlights and lowlights were for this last year. For me, James Conrad, the shot highlight, right? Lowlight, probably Joel Freeman's pants.
That's a good one. So highlights and lowlights for the disc golf season?
Yeah, like what was good for disc golf? What was the worst thing that happened for disc golf?
Okay, so if we're going good for disc golf as a sport, I got to go James Conrad's shot just because of the exposure. But if we're going like a personal like thing that happened during the disc golf season, it'd probably be Paul winning USDGC because like that was a cooler moment for me personally than Paul losing Worlds to James Conrad's shot.
I'll throw another one in there. Chris Sensatar's sponsorship money.
Yeah, that was also
like,
a big
I feel
moment.
Like that was big.
That's a huge moment for the sport.
Huge
yeah.
moment for the sport.
Yeah.
Was Paul's 10-year $10 million this year too? Or was that January?
Was
so
it
like
the
it was kind of like it
yeah,
started
kind
this,
of
year.
This year. Yeah.
Low light for the year.
Worlds.
Worlds for you, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying Worlds in general. Like there was a lot. I wasn't the only one talking.
But I'm saying like as a player, because like as a fan, if I was a casual
a fan
and
you
spectator,
guys
Worlds was incredible.
You guys wouldn't know anything different, but a lot of people are talking about it. So.
Yeah. Low light, man.
Was there a tournament that was just terrible?
I don't even
like,
know.
Like boring.
I can't even remember. This season's a blur. You know, with how much we're called out for being like the complaining podcast, Grip Lock, you'd think I just have this like
locked in,
but I got nothing. I've got nothing. You know, I'll have to go. Man, I can't even think of one. I can't even think of a single
Someone said Julian Korver as rookie of the year.
Sure. I mean, but that's not the low light
it's
of the
really
year.
Not really like a low light.
Because like it was, I mean, by the technical standard, she won.
In a
like,
couple
I
years, no one's going to care.
No, exactly. Oh, low light. Low light. No, I can't agree with Joel Freeman's pants. I think the low light was me personally being at U.S. Women's, or not U.S. Women's, at USDGC Women's National Championship and following Paige's rounds, thinking she's going to win and watching her blow up. That was a very like...
Or like betting, having her in your bet.
That was also something that was going on behind the
like,
scenes.
Being off by like 20
You know,
strokes.
USDGC week, USDGC week prize picks betting is my low point because I lost everything I had.
Responsibly, of course.
Responsibly, yes.
Oh, man. All right. Cool. Thanks for calling in, man. Take care. I thought he was going to ask me what my personal thing was, and I was just going to say get COVID. That was my low light. That was easy.
Well, that's what I was thinking, like highlight and low light of the year for me personally. I don't even know.
Yeah, for you personally. I mean, USDGC was probably your highlight, though.
Like, overall,
being able
like
to
that
go
was,
there.
USDGC was like one of the best weeks of my life.
Yeah.
But the low light also came during there.
Low light might have been Photon Zones.
But that's just
Zones.
Because I can't think of anything.
The day after Photon Zones dropped.
That was a low point for me. Because like we had so many of them on the shelf still, but then they just magically sold.
No, I was saying low light in the sense of like how long it took you guys to get all those things out.
Oh, that was even a different low light.
Yeah,
that was a roller coaster of emotions. That
how
weekend.
Do I get my wife interested in disc golf? She's getting PTSD from the Jomez intro song. Says Gary. Mm-hmm. Gary, thanks for the five. Best way I would say is just find the easiest course.
Yeah,
like a pitch and putt kind of course, something short that's not going to take too long. Ideally something that's probably only 9 holes as well, or maybe it's got a nice little like 6-hole loop that you could do and get a nice like putter, you know, flippy putter or whatever it is, and go out and you know, it's interesting because I have a lot of my friends now are getting into disc golf because of me, and it's interesting to kind of just see how their relationships with their wives have changed to where one of them I think was having their 6-year anniversary. And he asked her like, hey, how do you want to spend your 6-year anniversary? And the first thing she said was like, I want to like go play disc golf. Like that's how she wanted the day to start. And I was like, dude, what like is your, this cat like love disc golf now? And he's like, well, she like kind of likes it, but it's like a nice way of spending time
together
and like a walk in the park. So I would go more that route of like being able to spend time with one another and be able to like walk around nature kind of thing, and not so much on like the competitive side and like teaching her how to throw and
well, that's also
teaching the rules and all that stuff.
I found that getting Liz is my wife, getting Liz interested in playing disc golf to where she like understood how hard it was, understood like the fun side and like watching a disc fly and stuff like that. Like getting her to go out and have fun playing disc golf got her interested in watching disc golf. Because like beforehand, she would watch like Paul play because we were all friends with Paul like years ago, like 2016 type range.
Mm-hmm.
We'd watch like Jomez videos of Paul and stuff like that. because she knew Paul. But like, if Paul wasn't in contention, and my parents are still this way, like if Paul or someone we know isn't in contention, they will not watch. They don't care. But
Tiger
like
Woods effect.
Chris Dickerson, Zach Melton, Paul. There's a few players where like if they can watch them play, they will watch them play. And then if those players aren't playing, they won't. That's how Liz was. But then once Liz went out and played disc golf some and started to enjoy it, then if we get home on a Sunday and live disc golf's on, we're parking ourselves on
she's
the couch.
She's okay to sit down and watch.
Well, she'll actually turn. Like I sometimes we'll get home from church. I'll be like, let my dogs out playing in the backyard, whatever. And I'll come in and she has already pulled up Disc Golf Network and is watching it on her own. Mm. To where I just am like, oh, disc golf's on. And I'll walk in and sit down and we just watch disc golf. And I'm like, this is incredible. So that was how I took. That was the route I took, is got her into the sport a little bit first. Then we started watching together. Because when we just watched together, she was like, can I please just put on a vlog? And I was like, I don't want to watch a girl do makeup again. Can we please watch disc golf?
I will say, though, not every story is going to come out like those, though. There will be some times where like certain people just aren't interested, and it's okay. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You can go out and play by yourself. Hello?
Oh, hey. No, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's good, man? How you doing?
Good, good. Hey, so I play college football, and I know that we started recruiting guys in like, you know, early high school, maybe even middle school. Kids are getting looked at. When do you think is like the range that kids start getting recruited for disc golf? Because I was playing in a tournament a few weeks ago, and there was like a 13-year-old that was talking about how he's getting recruited. Mm. So what do you all think about that?
Well, I think the interesting thing is a sport like football, basketball, pretty much most mainstream sports, the path to the pros is pretty clear, and the path involves going to college. In disc golf, it's weird because you have players like Gannon Burr who are in high school still and are able to be a top 25, 20 player in the world, to where like they can just go homeschooled, go remote, and tour full-time and never even have to think about college. So I think that's the tough part, is like if you have a 13-year-old or a 12-year-old or whatever, the other thing too is hard is exposure, because like you play high school football, high school basketball, high school soccer, whatever, and then AAU and travel ball. So it's kind of easy to keep track of like how good players are in their age group. Whereas like a great 13-year-old disc golfer is just going to be playing an MA1. And so like if you're a college coach in disc golf, which first off there's not very many of, and you're looking for that next talent, it's hard to find them because they might not be the best ones aren't playing in the junior division. The best ones are playing in either open or MA1. And then if they're great, it's even harder because there's a clear path for them to get to the pros and fulfill their dream without ever having to go to college or play disc golf in college. So I don't really know if there's an age or anything yet. I think the college scene needs to develop more to where, like, I think once a tour card's in place, the college scene will develop more, just because it won't be as easy as just going straight to the pro tour, testing the water a little bit, being like, oh, I am good enough, and then doing it, to where people will go to college and that's kind of how they'll get noticed and stuff like that. And then slowly be able to build up sponsorships or whatever, to where now they can go and try to get a tour card and qualify for the tour. It'll become a little bit more obvious road, but I think we're a few years away from that kind of happening. So right now, I don't really know if there is an age, because I don't really know how much college disc golf recruiting happens.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Do manufacturers have like people that are in charge of recruiting, or is it more like team managers?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have... As far as I know, there's no manufacturer that has like a position that their sole purpose is to go out and try to find upcoming talent. It'd be more or less just, hearing it from others or people sending in like, hey, these are tournaments I'm playing in, and having someone like read emails and kind of thing like that. I don't think it's to the point of where it's too competitive in that nature of where, you know, tons of people are trying to, you know, sign the next upcoming superstar. It could get to that point at some point.
Well, the tough thing too is like in disc
golf, who knows, also a 13 year old that's really good could kind of burn out and not really turn into anything.
Well, in order,
it's the same thing in all other sports.
You're not gonna be able to sign like Gannon Burr, is another, back to him, because he's like the, I think, perfect example for this. Prodigy is not going to be able to lock Gannon Burr down on like a 10 to 15 year contract, because that wouldn't make sense for Prodigy or for Gannon Burr. So the issue is, if like Prodigy, yeah, they can keep investing in Gannon Burr and keep building him up, building him up, building him up. But what Prodigy has to keep in the back of their mind is like, if Gannon gets to 18, you know what I mean, and Discraft or Innova comes in and offers Gannon some absurd contract because they're willing to bet on him now, mm-hmm. then all that investment and buildup that Prodigy put in, if Gannon's like, you know what, this is too good of a deal, I have to take it, then that just, all the benefits goes to another company. Because it's not as much like a sports team where, you know, yeah, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, yeah, he's getting traded, but we're getting X, Y, and Z for him to where it's a mutual beneficial thing. Like, if, like when Paul left Innova, Innova didn't get something in return for Paul. Mm. His contract was up, and then he moved on. So it's something where, like, it's a little bit different. That's why I don't like when people call, like, disc golf sponsorships, like, team or something like that, because it's like, well, it's not really a team from that aspect. It's just an endorsement deal.
Right, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. That was pretty much my question. So,
all right, appreciate you calling in, man. Have a great night.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You too.
Take care. I got in that weird thing where I didn't know if I want to say great night or wonderful night. And so kind of great night.
It's kind of debate night.
Debate night. Have a great debate night.
Night.
Someone wants to know who we're sponsoring next year. You guys will find out soon enough.
Don't worry about it.
I'll tell you this. One of the two people sitting at this table right here is getting sponsored next year.
What?
One of the two people sitting here is going to be sponsored.
By Foundation?
Sure. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Aren't we both sponsored by Foundation in an indirect way, but also a direct way? Like, yeah, isn't that kind of how that works?
I mean, like, are you going to tour next year?
Am I touring next year? No.
You guys might have to try
we
to might, get
we
one
do
of
need
it.
To do that. Some. We actually were running, our window's shrinking up because eventually we will have to have a tour card to actually tour. We won't be able to do it.
Yeah, this might be the last year that you guys might, I don't even know if your rating's high enough anymore.
What do you have to be?
Oh, I can't remember.
I'm in the 970s.
You might have to do. You know what you guys should do though. They're gonna have like qualifiers.
Oh, we have to.
You
go
guys
play
should
qualifiers?
Enter in a qualifier.
Our whole idea for this video that Brody's talking
just to
about
see if you can qualify.
Is basically we would Trevor and I would both have like $500 to start and just see how long we could survive on the road. We're not allowed to make money. We can make money like going and painting someone's house or like doing some like weird side
what?
Gig.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, like no, but we can't make money using our like we can't put on Instagram, hey, you know, I really need a quick job.
I think you only can make money.
No, like the true disc golf grit way of like if I get out there and I want to rent a car and DoorDash, yeah, that's probably illegal. But like if I want to like if I want to do something or like I want
to
go
okay, so you're trying to
pick
figure
up
out
leaves
as
to
a disc
earn
golfer.
An extra 25, okay. 50 bucks to make my next meal, I can do it.
Okay. Fair enough. Hello?
What's up, you guys?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. What do you got for us?
So I don't know if it was in any official video, if it was social media, but Brody, I believe you made a take sometime last year. I think it was earlier on when you were getting started with disc golf about you never wanting to have a disc that had been beaten in pretty much at all. Mm. And that was a strategy of yours so that you would never lose a disc that was irreplaceable.
Yes.
And you could always replace it with a stock disc.
Yes.
But earlier in this episode, we were talking about your beat up ringer.
Mm-hmm.
So has your opinion changed?
Yeah, 100%. Two reasons. One, there are certain discs when you beat them in that fly, their flight characteristics are unlike any other disc. So for example, like the beat in ringer, I have yet to throw anything that flies anywhere near that thing. And then the second thing I would say too is that also went out the window when I started realizing that you could get, you know, let's say 20 discs, all the same mold, and they all kind of fly differently. So, you're always kind of, you know, if I lose, let's say I lose one of my nukes, for example. I have to go to like my stack of 20, 30, 40 nukes, however many nukes I have, and I have to find the one that will fly like that nuke, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's not simply, and this is definitely more on the fairway drivers, like a stock get freaky. If I lose a stock get freaky, I can literally just grab any stock get freaky and be good to go. But when you start having the higher speed stuff, that's where
you know, not every raptor is going to fly the same. Not every vulture is going to fly the same. You know, different runs, different plastics, all those things matter. And so that's where you kind of have to be a little on the like, hey, I got to make sure. So I definitely try to go the route of where if I, you know, I always try to get like 10 or 5 discs in the same run. And that way, if it is a disc that I like, I've got, you know, 4 or 5 backups.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, that's a bummer. I was hoping for a little more debate, but it sounds like we agree.
Yeah, no, it was I don't know what the wording is, but it was, you know, I was coming in with hopeful eyes, being like, this is how I'm going to do it, and found out very soon that it was very impossible to do it that way. So,
have you noticed that with anything else in disc golf, that your like opinions that were a little perhaps naive when you came in that have changed?
Oh, I'm sure there's tons of stuff I've said now, or I said at the beginning, that I would go back on. I feel like I have, like, whenever something, the ball golf thing was a good example. Like, that was something that I was like, for 2 weeks or so, heck, I wanted to start a jar that every single time someone in the office said ball golf, they had to put money in it. to where now I don't care about it anymore. So like, if there's ever something like that, I always try to like come out and be like, hey, this thing doesn't bother me anymore. I was wrong about this, whatever. And you know, this was something that obviously I completely forgot I even said at the beginning, but now I do remember saying that now that you brought it up. And yeah, I completely have a different opinion on that. I wish, I will say though, I wish it wasn't the case. But there's, well,
that you were wrong.
No, I wish that I could like lose a disc and then immediately be able to have a disc to replace it.
Does it work that way in ball golf with clubs?
Yes.
Really? Okay. There's no beating in clubs, I suppose. No. I don't play any golf.
And so you switch your golf ball out pretty much every 3 holes.
Got it.
So as soon as, right, and especially if you get like, if you hit a cart path or anything, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, you don't care about that.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, good question. Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it, man.
No worries. Thanks for the clarity. Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, you too. We got a $10 dono from Gary. Would a pro pitcher come into disc golf with a huge advantage over other players, or is it not that simple? Any other sports? No, I don't know. I don't know if you could say huge advantage. They would have to learn a lot of different things, obviously. Like, everyone's got to learn how to putt. That's something that I don't think any sport you could come in and have an advantage in putting.
You'd have arm speed.
You
would more just be like
a lot of potential, because if you're a professional pitcher, you're going to be built and athletic in a way, exactly, to where you can generate a lot of power,
a lot of speed. Yeah.
And so you look at someone like Austin Hanum, for example, who came from baseball. He posted something on his Instagram story of that Dave and Buster's baseball game, and he was like throwing 90-mile-per-hour balls. I mean, he can whip it. And if you watch him throw a forehand, he can throw a forehand like a mug. So, yeah, they would be able to have a high ceiling for the amount of power they can generate.
But like, that, it's not that simple. Like, they'd have a really high ceiling, high potential. But he was asking, like, would they have a huge advantage,
no,
or is it that simple? It's not that simple, just because there's so many other facets of the game that they'd have to get great at that baseball doesn't directly translate to,
correct,
such as like touch and putting. I've seen so many comments about like us getting roasted on Reddit, and so I like, while that guy was,
I think
that
you're call being trolled. Him, I think you're being.
I think
trolled.
I well, there are well, I found several threads that have popped up recently, like as of today. A lot of them have been like the Simon video we talked about, where like, yeah, there's a lot of negative comments towards Foundation. I just think some people haven't seen the level we normally get roasted, and so they're calling that roasting. That's just not the roasting we're used to. Step up your game, Reddit.
If you're not getting roasted, are you really doing anything? No. Hello.
Hey. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. How are you doing? What do you got for us?
I'm doing good. First of all, I just want to say you're a huge inspiration, Brody. Trick shots have been a big part of my life, and I just want to thank you for being a part of that.
Hey, I appreciate that, brother.
Going into the question, what are your guys' thoughts on the different baskets and the different sizes and different courses?
Baskets.
I mean, I think personally, my opinion is when it comes to the Pro Tour, I think they should have some type of standard basket personally. Just because I think it's a very easy thing for them to sell to, like, someone pays to be the official basket of the Pro Tour. B, I think that there's some baskets that just do a better job than others, and I think that the Pro Tour will be able to vet that a little bit more. But the one thing I do like about switching up baskets is it keeps things a little bit interesting, just from the standpoint that, like, if I putt really hard dead center, I'm going to be a great putter on a Prodigy T1, but I'm going to be a really bad putter on a Mach 3, to where some pros will walk into a weekend and know, hey, I need to take some speed off my putt and add a little loft for this basket. Or, hey, now I know I can ram them dead center with a lot of confidence on this basket. So there is at least that. The only bad part is that doesn't really translate through the screen. I don't know if that's a commentary thing or what it is, but, like, if you're a casual viewer at home, you have no idea that's going on, so you don't see that difficulty.
Yeah, I don't think
that's
something that people want to know about either. I don't think that's something that's interesting.
No, exactly. And that's the thing is, like, it's interesting once you know, but it's not interesting enough that it should be, like, a main talking point. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like a thing that's like, oh, it's cool that pros do it, but it wouldn't take it away from the sport if pros didn't have to do it and there was an official basket. And then I think the pros would like it more because they could dial in on one basket and know, I'm playing on this basket year round.
Well, I think it's also an opportunity for the Disc Golf Pro Tour to sell a lot of sponsorship right now, right? So you could have, I would say, two things. One, you can have the official basket of the Disc Golf Pro Tour, so that costs something, and then you use their basket at every tournament. And then the other thing I would say too is you would be able to put other sponsors on, you know, because right now the Pro Tour only has their little thing at the bottom.
Yeah,
the little cushion,
or whatever they call it.
The little cushion at the bottom. And then the band, I don't think they ever really use that as...
A lot of times that's just the tournament.
That's just the tournament, or that's just the basket itself.
Yeah.
So that's another spot where I think you can put some branding and marketing on and make some of these purses a little higher as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. Is there one basket that you would choose right now to be the Pro Tour basket, or one that you hate specifically?
I would like a little less wide chain star. That's what I would want. If they could, like, take out the last chain, the last width chain, if they could take those out and then move the basket in like half a disc, maybe, I think that would be great.
I personally love the Innova Disc Catcher. And the basket, I'm the least excited for.
Innova Disc Catcher is good too, also.
Yeah,
you can do the same thing with the Innova Disc Catcher, yeah. Just make it a little less wide.
The basket I'm the least excited for, just because of my putting style when I show up on a course, is a Prodigy T1. Because I'm not a hard putter, and those things will toss my putters around.
What,
like,
courses have that? Do you know?
Camp Hideaway around here. I don't know about Tor. I have no idea on Tor.
Sure.
They've redesigned the T1, so I'm talking about old T1s. I don't know if the redesign helped, but the old T1s would absolutely bully my discs when I'd play, like, my tag matches at Camp Hideaway. They would just it literally was like the basket was catching it and throwing it back at me. It was annoying.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in, man.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great night.
All right,
let's do one more caller. We got some people, obviously, we're always going to get some people that are a little upset in the live chat. You know, it's part of the game. It's part of the situation. It is what it is. We apologize. Trying to get better.
Yeah.
I got my little brother shirt on. Do I look jacked in the shirt?
It's just the working out, man.
So I look jacked right now? I did run like 3 miles before this.
Me too. I did my speed run.
Was it 3 miles?
Look at
my speed
man.
Run. I'll tell you my speed run distance.
I'm feeling good. I'm starting to fly around like the 7:30 minute mile pace for like I'm not holding that pace.
My speed run was like I was doing I forget what it's called, but basically like 3 at 1 minute mile pace, then 3 2-minute 5K pace.
Yeah, you're doing intervals.
Then yeah, but then 2 at 1 2-mile pace, 2 at whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being 2.8 miles.
Heck yeah, man!
My average pace was 8:50.
That's good. Sub 9 minutes is very nice.
Yeah.
My mile pace was always like, where's my mile pace? I was chilling around like the 7:10. My first mile pace, I popped off at a 6:26 for a minute, only for a minute.
But still, that's holding 6:26 for a minute. It's very impressive. We got one more caller here.
No, just popped in.
Popped in.
Oh, just popped in. Final caller.
What's up, man?
Hey, what you got for us tonight?
All right. My debate is, I'll start with a question, but I kind of do want to debate it, that I do not think dogs should be allowed at events.
Oh, you might not have anyone to debate.
As far as like spectators, or are you saying like a player of an event?
Yeah. No, so like spectators, like I'm in Charlotte. I was at the Tour Championship. I don't know if you saw the coverage when that dog barked when Paul, on number six, I think, was like putting, and the dog barked right when he putted and missed it. And I honestly, it blew me away that dogs are even like as frequently allowed in those events as they are. So yeah, I just want to hear your opinion on it, because I don't think I've ever heard you address that. Or
it's tough because, you know, you're at a park, and so a lot of times tournaments basically abide, or sorry, people showing up to the tournaments abide by the park rules, and it's very difficult for the pro tour to have, unless they can shut the park down, I believe, which a lot of times they don't have the funds, or the park just won't allow that to happen. It's very hard for you to be able to.
I think Hornet's Nest was shut down
just
for the championship.
That is such a disc golf thing though right now. I mean, you have a lot of there's a lot of people on tour. It'll be interesting to kind of see what happens in the future, because you know, all you really need is a couple people to step in some dog poop on a fairway during your practice rounds for people to start, you know, getting a little upset with some of the pro people out there having their dogs. Obviously, it's a different story too, because a lot of these people, they're traveling, you know, in a van or an RV or whatever it may be, and their dog is with them. So the idea of like, hey, I'm going out to practice and them leaving their dog seems ridiculous. And I completely understand. Like, yeah, of course, bring your dog during the practice round.
Right.
But again, it's one of those things that a growing pain that eventually gets to the point of where dogs aren't allowed along the course.
Yeah, like I'm a huge dog person, but like you look at other sports and that's just not a thing. And I imagine if that dog barking when Paul was throwing, if it were like the final day, and like a pretty vital moment, I don't know, I feel like it would have raised more flags than it did, but I didn't even know that they were allowed until I went.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is tough because like, and someone did say careful for the service dogs. Obviously, we're talking about pet dogs. Because service dogs are trained where you'd be pretty shocked if like a service dog
freaked out,
was the one that was freaking out. But most of the time what happens is like, I trust my dogs to not cause trouble or cause a scene or something like that. But I would never bring them to a disc golf tournament because that's a new environment for my dogs. So where like I could take them to a park and they're not going to bark. You know, they're just going to kind of chill, walk around the park. One of them would bark. I wouldn't take them. But the other one would just chill, walk right next to me. It is what it is. But at a disc golf tournament or golf tournament or anything where they're required to be quiet, I can't fully control my dog. Like I can trust my dog all I want and train my dog all I want. But if the right squirrel comes up and, you know, teases my dog enough, she might take off. Or if the right person does the wrong thing, my dog might bark at him. You know what I mean? To where like, at the end of the day, they are still an animal, to where you can't fully control them. And I think that the only way you can control them is say like, service animals aside, no pets allowed, no dogs allowed.
Yeah. And some people are saying just like the look of it doesn't look that good. And I would probably have to agree with that. If I go to a sporting event, and I'm seeing like dogs all around, it just doesn't seem like it's a professional kind of look. Regardless of whether the dog's going to bark or not going to bark. It's one of those things, again, growing pains. Some people are going to hate it. Some pros that have their dogs out on the road with them are going to fight against it. But at the end of the day, it's probably going to be best for, you know, tournaments not to have our four-legged friends out there with us.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, I'm a dog person, but that's not a thing in other sports. So it surprised me to see it.
Yeah. So, all right. We appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah, man. Y'all have a good one.
Have a wonderful night. Could you imagine having the three Corgos out there? Oh my gosh, the chaos that would occur. It would just be you got two of them that are just absolute psychotic when it comes to the Frisbee. So it's like,
that's the other tough part is like, if it's some of these parks where like you can't shut it down, so you can't tell the park goers like no dogs because it's a park rule. You know what I mean? And then like a lot of dogs just love Frisbees or just love flying objects. Just like my Nova, I can never take disc golfing because I made the mistake at a young age of training her to catch Frisbees because that seemed like so much fun. It was. But now if I take her to go play disc golf, she immediately goes into play mode of like, oh, we're catching Frisbees. Now, obviously, I could train her to like learn the difference between a Frisbee and a disc, but like that would take so long. At this
point, you're just like, I'm over it.
Yeah. And so like, because when she was a puppy, I was teaching her how to catch Frisbees in the backyard, and it took a lot of training to get where she like understood what's going on and was able to like catch the Frisbee. Very rewarding to go through that whole process. But then like 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, we'll go out and play Falling Creek. She's old enough that we can like go and play. And then I throw the Frisbee and she immediately is like, I've been trained for this. This is my moment. He threw that way farther than we've been practicing. And I'm like, dang it, dog. And then she brings back my destroyer in her mouth. I'm like, I can't get mad at you because you did exactly what I trained you to do, but please, please drop that disc.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like your dogs are more trained than ours because you pull out a Frisbee and Zero will just stare at you and bark at you until you throw it. And it's just like, we took him out disc golfing one time and it was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Every time I pull a disc out, he's just letting me have it. It's very quick. It's like every second, just bark, bark, bark.
Like, you haven't thrown it yet. Why haven't you thrown it? Throw it.
Does not work. Someone was asking about the, someone was asking about the Rocket Roach. If you're still listening, go over to our YouTube channel, Foundation Podcast. Click on Debate Night. This is episode 20. Drop a like on the video. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. And comment, not in the live chat, but comment in the actual comment section of the video, your favorite disc. And we will pick one of you guys to send this blank Rocket Roach signed by the entire Debate Night team.
Boom.
Bam. There you guys have it. We appreciate everyone listening tonight, tuning in live, or if you're listening on Shopify.
Gosh. Shopify. If you're listening on Shopify.
If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, we appreciate you guys so much. Good show. We'll see what the heck we're going to talk about next week. I mean, maybe we'll talk about our favorite Christmas gifts.
There we go.
Well,
we can also see if I ever find this elusive Reddit thread that's roasting us.
Can we real quick just say our favorite? Because you said Polar Express. Can we real quick say all of our favorite
Christmas
movies?
I'm changing mine.
All right. You go first, since you're changing.
I'm going the first Home Alone.
That's a good one.
The first Home Alone was a very good movie.
Okay. That's a good one.
The Jim Carrey Grinch.
I think that might be Kelsey's favorite,
too.
Which
one is that?
The live action Grinch.
So the real one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll watch it all year.
Kelsey might like that.
Liz's
favorite.
How many
times have you seen it?
This year. Between 8 and 12.
Oh my
this
goodness.
Year. Liz's favorite right now is the newest Grinch. Like new animated one.
I don't think we've seen that one yet.
I have caught her watching it at least 4 times in the last week. Where I've got home from work. House is completely quiet. Dogs aren't freaking out. I'm like, what is going on? I like walk around. I can hear something playing. I open our door and she's like, oh, hey. And I look over and there it is. She's watching The Grinch yet again. I'm like, Liz, again? She's like, there's just nothing else on TV and I love this movie. I'm like, all right.
Do they do that part where it's like, it's the Grinch?
No, it's not the same movie.
Okay, so it's very different?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's the same storyline, but each movie rewrote it a little bit.
Okay.
The best one is the Jim Carrey
one. We'll have to check that out. Mine's the easy one, Elf.
That's a good one.
People know I'm a big Will Ferrell fan, so him being in, I saw a new movie I've never seen before with the guy that's in a lot of Will Ferrell movies, the other big guy. He's a big guy. He plays the same character. He's in Wedding Crashers. He's in,
about?
The big guy, big burly guy with, he's got a beard most of the time.
Like curly hair?
He's in Wedding Crashers. He's the main character in Wedding Crashers with the other guy.
I can just Google Wedding Crashers.
I have no clue.
Wedding Crashers.
It's Gosh.
Are you sure Wedding Crashers is what you're thinking of?
Vince Vaughn. Thank you. Vince Vaughn.
Are you thinking of Owen Wilson?
That's the other guy he's with. It's Vince Vaughn.
But Will Ferrell is what you said.
No. I'm saying, sorry.
Everyone's saying Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn is very similar to Will Ferrell in the sense that they play almost the same character every time.
I mean,
they're
comedians. Sure.
They're in comedic movies. And
Vince
they play.
Vaughn is like the Walmart version of Will Ferrell.
Okay, sure. Whatever you want to say.
Wow.
That's not even a hot take. That's a bold statement. Just a fact.
But he was in a Christmas movie and I've never seen it before. And it was really, really weird.
I don't know. I do not like
Santa Claus. He was Santa Claus. And there were a bunch of like elves. Elves?
Yeah.
Are they elves?
Santa's helpers?
You know what I just thought? Santa helpers are elves, and also Legolas is an elf. Is an elf different than an elf?
I mean, they're all one. They're all like in like a fairy tale world of like they're different.
Santa elves are way worse than
Can we see a crossover between Lord of the Rings and Santa? Like, if Santa showed up, would Legolas be like, "I'm sorry, I'm not building Legos for you, man"?
That's
like,
what I'm saying. What are they all? Are they?
Someone knows.
Same world.
Are they?
Same world.
Did I just blow my mind?
They got to be in different worlds. They've got to be in different worlds. There's no way they're the same world.
Okay. Well, I think we should end it on the elves.
You got to do a call out.
Got to do it. Well, I mean, you know, I think it's clear. You know, all these people on Reddit call into the show. You don't even have to give us a view. You don't even have to listen to the show. You can just have the number.
Just hire a proxy to watch
the number
for you and then give you the number.
Hey, if you guys are people listening right now, let people know the number. The number is 434.
Well, don't just let them know the number because they'll call all throughout the day. And I'll just give voicemail after voicemail after voicemail to my email.
Okay.
Just let them know to tune in.
Hunter.
Let them know to tune in.
That's
please
the thing.
Don't spam me.
That's
don't
the thing. Spam. Well, hopefully next week we can get Twitter spaces and it's way easier
there
for those.
Yes. There we go.
That's
we
the
need
thing.
Twitter spaces.
Way easier for those people to come in. Because then there isn't this notion of like, oh, I have to watch their show. I don't want to watch their show.
Yeah, I don't want to watch their show.
I don't want to give them that 0.0001 cents of AdSense.
Yeah.
We're not accepting calls right now. That's why it's not working.
Yeah, the calls are over. But yeah, I think for the call out, you know, we definitely want people that have differing opinions on stuff.
There's a reason we call it debate night. We want to debate. We don't want to sit here and do a Q&A show.
Yeah.
That's not what we started the show for.
Which unfortunately there is a lot of that going on. And sometimes me and Silas will debate on stuff. Me and Hunter will debate on stuff. But a lot of times, some of especially disc golf related stuff, we all kind of have the same opinions on certain things. So that's why it's always cool. Like the reason why this show started too was just not even so much to try to like get haters to come on, but to like actually have good conversation
discussion.
On things. And obviously I think when the disc golf pro season, disc golf pro tour starts, we'll have a little bit more stuff that maybe people will have to call in about, but you know, it is what it is. So hopefully we'll get some new callers again. Not a Q&A show, but sometimes it turns into a Q&A show, which is completely fine.
Yeah.
It is what it is. If that's the only people that want to call in. But yeah, that's where we're at. Hopefully we can have some people calling in. I think the Twitter space is the answer.
Twitter spaces is the answer.
The Scramble, last question, wants to know, are you guys hiring?
Yes and no.
Depends on what your skills are. All right, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, if you want to win this one-of-a-kind, unstamped Rocket Roach signed by the entire Debate Night team, subscribe to Foundation Podcast. Drop a like on this video. Leave a comment of your favorite disc, and we might just call your name out next week.